kid and you might hear this. But try asking her how her day went and you might hear this.
Mom, something happened at school today.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
What if I told you that something in your home, your child's daycare center, or where they play, could be making your child sick? What if it could lead to mental or physical disabilities, causing convulsions, coma, death? These things have happened to children who are poisoned by lead.
Hello, I'm Mayor Francis Slay. Each year, hundreds of children in the city of St. Louis are diagnosed with lead poisoning. Although you often can't see any symptoms, lead poisoning can lead to learning disabilities, behavior disorders, kidney damage, and even death. Let us help you protect your child from lead. Find out about programs to help make your child, your home, lead safe. It's time to test your child for lead.
Lead poisoning is preventable. Learn how to make your child lead safe. Call 259-3455. That's 259-3455.
I'm a singer and a voice coach. At 28, just as my star was rising, I got the shock of my life. I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a kind of cancer. I pictured my two-year-old growing up, my husband Greg growing old, without me. Impossible. I decided to fight and win. I didn't know how hard it would be, how little things like doing laundry or singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to my daughter would become major efforts. My friends and family helped and supported me, and so did the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks to the life-saving research they help fund, survival rates are up for multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and there is hope. After 2 years of treatment, including months of chemo, I'm cancer-free. In its own way, my cancer was a blessing. There's a new song in my heart. To help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Bren Jones, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
For most Americans, their home is their biggest investment. Yet each year, homeowners run into financial nightmares when they mistakenly hire unscrupulous contractors. If you have plans to remodel your home, here are some warning signs to look for when hiring a home remodeler. You're told that on this job, a contract won't be necessary. You're asked to pay for the entire job up front or pay cash to a salesperson. You're confronted with scare tactics or threats. You're told you've been chosen as a demonstration project at a special low price. You're told a special low price is good only if you sign a contract today. The contractor won't give you references, or the references can't be located. You can't verify the contractor's business address. Protect your home by carefully evaluating the credentials of any contractor you consider hiring, and work with a professional you can trust. This message was brought to you by the National Association of Home Builders Remodelers Council. For more information, please visit nahb.org/remodel.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, talk to my sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, talk to my sisters. Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We're going to do something a little different this morning. We are going to, after we take our break here, We're going to talk to one of our new members of our Wake Up Call family. We're going to talk about a very difficult situation. We're going to talk about something that sometimes people can't bring themselves to talk to, but it's something that we need to talk about. So we're going to be talking to our friends, new members of our family, a point of change, hospice care. When we come back, my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Hi, I'm Veronica O'Brien, your president for the St. Louis Board of Education. I would like to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This year will be one of our most exciting, with new leadership and renewed enthusiasm. Students, parents, and community, we welcome you back. Remember, education is the key to your success, and it starts on the first day of school for St. Louis Public School District, Monday, August 28th.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be all right. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied, she's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. If you want to get up, if you want to get to me, we have much to talk about, and we will be talking with our friends from Point of Change, Hospice in just a few minutes. And before we get to our friends at Point of Change Hospice, I want to get to a couple of issues. I want to get to a couple of issues that it's interesting. How many of the things that we talk about on the Wake Up Call, where they go, whether it's Joe Garcia's Global News, our World News Report, Global News Reports, whether it's are the stories that we talk about, the people that we have on, where they go, where our issues go, it is, we do amazing things on the Wake Up Call. And I'm looking at the front page of the Financial Times. Front page of the Financial Times and the front page of the IBD, that's the Investors Business Daily. We said yesterday, I remember telling y'all yesterday, the hugely significant story that's not on the front pages of other papers, that is not talked about in the manner that it should be discussed. And that is the story of Hugo Chavez and China. There are two huge, you need to feel this. Oh, I want to say it again in case you missed it. You need to feel this. Financial Times and Investors Business Daily. These are the papers that have this story on the front page. They understand the financial piece of this. They understand the hugeness of this. And the one picture on the Financial Times is a picture of Hugo Chavez reviewing an honor guard in Beijing. Hundreds of Chinese soldiers. And looking, and Hugo Chavez looking very presidential as the president of Venezuela. These two countries signed, and I've got to read the caption on the Financial Times. It says the Chinese president had assured Hugo Chavez that China supported Venezuela's ambitions to join the United Nations Security Council. You feel that? They also signed two deals to develop Venezuela's oil reserves. And what Hugo Chavez is doing, and this is all on the front page of the Financial Times, is he's proposed to almost quadruple sales of oil to fuel hungry China into 1 million barrels per day in the next decade. And it's not just that. Now feel what this caption says. The caption under this picture of Hugo Chavez reviewing the guard in China says more than any American newspaper has said about this, the hugeness of this deal. Now, Boy George may say that Hugo Chavez is just, part of the axis of evil. Hugo Chavez says, whatever. Whatever. I'm going to go handle my business and the rest of the world going to be with me and not going to be with you. In this teeny tiny caption under this picture of Hugo Chavez in China, one, China says, oh, we with you to get you in to the United Nations Security Council. Huge. 1 million barrels of oil per day. Huge. As well as energy contracts and six other agreements were there, including those focusing on bilateral trade and infrastructure construction. Also, the building of oil machinery, the building of railways, the building of telecoms networks, and even the building of ships. Where does that put the United States? If Hugo Chavez is entering in these types of money, 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 power, 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 control, 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 legitimacy, legitimacy, legitimacy contracts with China, where does that put the United States in and this administration's position about Hugo Chavez? Yeah, I don't know. United States better get on the train to the future. Instead of trying to blow the tracks up unsuccessfully, they can't even find the tracks. And it's no different on the front page of the Investor Daily. I mean, think about it. The president of China came to the United States, and he didn't walk away from the United States with a deal like this. He didn't walk away from the greatest superpower in the world with a deal like this. We didn't give him no 1 million barrel of oil a day. We didn't say, all we said is that we will continue to buy stuff from you all. Hugo Chavez went to China. George Bush went to China. All he got was a lousy T-shirt. A t-shirt that had big words on it that he couldn't even read. Hugo Chavez went and changed the world. Picture on the Investors Daily of Hugo Chavez drinking champagne with the president of China. And the caption says, "We have raised the strategic relationship to a very high level." And in this caption as well, China also plans to back Venezuela's bid for a UN Security Council seat. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means in terms of the power of Hugo Chavez? And what is also fascinating is that the story that I told you about yesterday, that y'all better get ready to hold on to your... You need to be putting your little pennies away right now. You need to be ratcheting down your spending. You need to be rethinking the consumeristic world that you live in. And stop thinking about buying things. Why? Because there's a huge recession coming, I believe. I believe that there is a huge recession coming. And it's going to be painful in ways that many of us, y'all need to be reconfiguring how you're doing your money, what you're focusing on, and hunker down. In 2007, it's going to be bad. August is set to be the worst in 3 years for U.S. IPOs. Okay. What's that got to do with my life? Well, you know what? It's the death of a thousand cuts out here economically. 30% of the United States economy is dependent upon the housing industry. 30%. Whether it's the people, the construction workers out there that are building the homes, the people that are selling them the stuff that they need to build the homes, the consumers that are buying the homes, the consumers that are selling the homes, the consumers that are getting equity out of their home and spending the money in the economy for that. 30%. We are now in a housing market decline. Some are calling it a crash. What does that mean? That means that unlike the crash out on the West Coast with all of the dot-coms out there, if you didn't have a dot-com, it wasn't no trip to you. If you didn't live in the valley of the dot-coms, it wasn't no trip to you. But everybody, just about everybody, no, lots and lots of folks own their own homes, folks. You won't be affected by this. Death of a thousand cuts. Add the gas prices to that. Add the slow jobs. Add the fact that this administration has undercounted the number of people that don't have jobs. And overestimated the jobs that are out there. Buckle down, baby. It's going to be a bumpy ride. In 2007, you better start preparing. I'm going to be back with our friends from A Point of Change Hospice. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. Westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge, that accident blocking the left center lane. Traffic's backed up through 3rd Street this hour. Northbound 270 at the exit ramp to westbound 70 is scheduled to be closed at 7 p.m. for construction work, and that work will be done at 5 a.m. Monday morning. Southbound 270 at Teston Ferry, there's an accident. Three lanes are open this hour. Westbound 270 at 367 and New Florissant, look for no problems to report. Northbound 270 at 44, You've got no problems there. Eastbound 70 at 79. Look for traffic to be building this hour. Eastbound 40 from 141 through 270. Looks good. Westbound Eastbridge traffic, northbound Route 3, and westbound Kingbridge traffic onto the Poplar Street Bridge as well as into downtown. You can expect no delays at this hour other than the fact that you have that accident going on, which is the left center lane blocked and it's backing up traffic through 3rd Street. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito, crispy jalapeno strips, and spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because at Sonic, it's your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy today, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. High around the 90s. For this evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms will continue with a high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, showers and thunderstorms once again with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, that's right. Where else, where else, where else are you going to go to get your washer, your dryer, your refrigerator, your stove? You're going to go on over to Sears, black-owned and operated, the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. Look, it's the weekend. I know you need a refrigerator. How about a generator? How about a lawnmower? How about some tools? Get on over to Sears. My name is Liz Brown. When you talk to Jerome Williams, when you get that wonderful customer service, you tell him I told you to.
Register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talen says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talen does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talen, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talen, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Because you ought to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of star quality. And if that's the right, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. And I want to take a bit of time this morning to talk with new members of the Wake Up Call family. A point of change, hospice. And I want to, it's always difficult to talk about these times in our lives, but the fact of the matter is that some of us, do face these types of times in our lives. So I want to start with, a discussion of what is hospice care. And I want to begin that conversation with Norma Brooks, founder and CEO of Point of Change Hospice Care. Good morning, Norma.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, just great.
talk to us about hospice care. What is hospice care?
Okay. But this morning I want to kind of detour from starting off from the point of view of the question.
Okay.
I'd like to thank and praise God, who's my creator and all of our creators. And I just thank him because I'm usually not out at this hour. I just thank God for waking me up. But I really thank God for Liz Brown. And I petition the radio listening audience to pray for her daily. I pray for her. I thank God for her. It's because of her that we have a lot of opportunities and advantages. I listen to her and the braveness and the boldness that God has given us to fight for us as a race of people. I praise and thank God for you.
Thank you so
and most
much.
Of all, I praise and thank God for your purpose. God has ordained this. This is a ministry in itself, and I don't know if people look at it as a ministry, but you're doing a great job
thank
for God's
so much.
And God's people.
Thank you.
And most of all, I thank God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. All right. So let's talk about Point of Change.
Point of Change Hospice is a time of caring when someone is terminally ill. And they've been diagnosed by their physicians that they may have X amount of time to live. And our hospice agency, which we have founded, it was a vision given to us by God about 10 years ago. And I used to be at the bedsides, and we would render the home health services. Those duties where the ladies come in and gentlemen and help with the cooking, cleaning, and then we as nurses come in the home health part, and we take care of dressings and help teach them about their medicines, follow up on the physician's orders, give them therapy, give them speech, give them occupational, to work with their hands, to regain back the use of whatever has been affected in their lives. Then I would have clients that become terminal. Terminal just means that the doctor has diagnosed that you may not live within so many months. It's usually some months. And a lot of people recognize it as cancer, but there's many forms of terminal illnesses. And you end up, I ended up having to call agencies that I really didn't know anyone in that field that really knew it, but the large corporation like Barnes and all your hospitals and so forth. And most clients or their families would say, Norma, we want to stay with you. I said, well, the doctor said no. So they do have a choice. So oftentimes they would choose to stay with us because of the care that we render. And what we do is, as a hospice patient and family members, we come in as a listener. We come in and provide comfort measures. A lot of times people have decided, they go through different stages of acceptance of death. And a lot of times, first stage is usually denial.
Right.
And then you have a stage of anger.
Right.
Then you have a stage of acceptance. And what we try to do and what we're supposed to do is allow that patient and his family to adapt to the situation. We don't come in and go to saying, you got to do this, you got to eat, you got to take your medicine, you got to take your form of treatment, because they can refuse all forms of treatment. They can refuse the eating, drinking. They can do whatever they want. And you're there to help them through. You're there to hold their hand, most of all, to listen. We're there for the family members where this is very difficult for a family member to get a diagnosis as such, and you're like, but Mama, how did this happen? I don't want nothing to happen to my mom. I don't want this to happen to Grandma. I don't want this to happen to my daughter. I mean, it's very severe. It goes all the way down to children. It's not just for adults. It goes down to children, 10 and 12 years old, that's been diagnosed with a terminal illness. And we are there to provide all emotional support you need. And most of it is just listening and comfort measures.
And then we also have the connection with the medical field as well. We have the connection with the doctors,
yes.
And we have the connection with the nurses. And I'd like to talk to your director of nursing, Angie Harris. Angie, when we talk about the other, because Norma was talking about the emotional piece, the holding of the hand, the listening, the connecting to the family. Talk to us about the medical connection.
Good morning. The medical connection is that we follow up under a guideline of a physician, and we have services where we provide them with their medication. We also offer physical therapy, which help with their mobility to get them back walking or just moving around. We have OT, which is occupational therapy, which helps them with their hands and their upper body movement, as well as speech therapy if they're having difficulty speaking. We help them with that. We're there to rebound on the listening part.
Mm-hmm.
Also with the family, to listen. This is a transitional stage because you're moving from one place which were at one time doing things that you're no longer to do. So we're there to help the family as well as the patient.
And Jackie, one of the things that I like about Point of Change Hospice is we have the doctors, we have the nurses, we have the people to bring the information, but we also have the volunteers. Talk to us about what you do as a volunteer, and also how important it is for the patient to be able to, we're not talking about a facility, we're talking about people staying in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
How important is this? Because I think that's important to underscore that these people, that these patients will be staying in their own home when Point of Change helps them.
Okay, that's true, Liz. Liz, I want to also say that a lot of times the volunteers, let me make this perfectly clear, are governed and hired by Missouri state laws.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the necessary background checks.
Mm-hmm.
But these are people who have dedicated themselves to serving others.
Mm-hmm.
And in the serving of others, especially those our hospice clients, they have special needs, not just for the client, but for the families also. There are times when you need a break.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are times when we need to just let you come out, go do whatever you need to do, and you need someone to sit there with your loved one. We have qualified volunteers who are able to come in, sit, listen, and provide some services.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to help with that bath.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to assist with that meal.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that they are able to do. And it is most important during this time because there are times, even let's say our church members get sick and get down.
Mm-hmm.
You miss them. That family dedicates themselves so they work every day. Sometimes they need a Sunday break.
Sure they do.
They need someone there. Hospice can provide all that for you.
Mm-hmm.
There are people committed to come in and sit with your loved one while you go and take care of your necessary, or just go somewhere and just let your hair blow in the wind in
mm-hmm.
the park.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you need that. You
Absolutely.
Just need a breather.
Mm-hmm. Go read a book someplace.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there to listen. Sometimes there are times when you can't accept what's going on, but the patient needs someone.
Mm-hmm.
And the volunteer is there to listen to the patient.
You're saying that sometimes it's just difficult for family members to have that when you are going from one place to another, that transition from one place to another. Sometimes it's hard for a family member to listen to a loved one talk about that journey that they're getting ready
That's
to take.
True.
And
That's
they need
true.
To talk to somebody else.
And then you know what? We're like breathing archives.
Mm-hmm.
After the fact, We can come back and remind you mm-hmm. what your loved one has said. Mm-hmm. We can jot your memory mm-hmm. and say, your mother said she was ready.
Mm-hmm.
She was ready.
There you go.
And that tends to comfort them.
Yes, it does.
It tends to send comfort. They know that their parent or their loved one was not shattered,
mm-hmm.
that they was expecting this change. Mm-hmm. They had accepted that. That helps them to accept it also.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep everything on a nice, calm for the family. We're there for the family. We're a support to the family and client as well.
We're going to take another break, folks. If you would like more information about Point of Change, here's the number, 535-4500. That's 535-4500, Point of Change Hospice Nursing Agency. Give them a call at 535-4500. We'll be back with more of this conversation. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. Before Iran announced its decision on Tuesday regarding the stance on continuing its development of nuclear technology, the Bush administration had already been at work all weekend long to begin the process of organizing sanctions against Iran. Conference calls were made to officials in France, Germany, and Britain. It appears the Bush administration wanted the Iranians to turn down the offer of aid and special economic considerations. Britain, France, and Germany had started negotiating with Iran over the nuclear issue 3 years ago. But they understood that security concerns that Iran had would have to be a major part of any agreement. Last year, the EU and Iran came to an agreement in Paris on the same issue, and the conclusion was that a long-term solution would have to include firm commitments on Iran's security concerns. The Bush administration had been urged to become a supporter of those negotiations, but instead, the president and his staff wanted Tehran to suspend its enrichment program and allow open inspections by the International Atomic Energy Agency before anything else got put on the table. The European Union, the Russians, and the Chinese saw the handwriting on the wall as early as June of this year, when one EU official was quoted as saying, "Only the U.S. has the stick and the carrots big enough to persuade the Iranians, if they can be persuaded at all." And now President Bush is putting the entire matter into the context of Iran thumbing its nose at the UN Security Council, rather than having it be seen as an American refusal to deal with a critical part of the negotiating process. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talon says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talon does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talon, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talon, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count.
It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Hi, this is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Each Friday, my co-host Connie Mitchell and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects, so come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like I'm invisible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This hour, we are talking with one of our new family members of the Wake Up Call, Point of Change Hospice Nursing Agency. And we're talking about the opportunities that you have when you make the selection of Point of Change. And also, how do you go about making that selection? And we have Cassie Stoner here, registered nurse and the assistant director of nursing, to talk about how you get to make the choice, when you get to make the choice, and who makes the choice. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Liz. I'd like to answer your question concerning the patient and their choices. A patient does have the right to choose any hospice agency that they desire. Now, many times your physician might have in mind one that he prefers, but because of patients' rights, which is a necessary part of our United States rules, a patient has a right to choose whatever they want. And when they come to the stage of hospice where the doctor has said that they have a limited time to live, they become the sole person in charge of everything, that client, that patient. They have the right to choose. They can choose our company, which is Point of Change. It's a company that has been established for several years, and we do give very, very good care. I'd like to just speak briefly on the care that was given my husband. My husband was terminally ill with brain cancer, and this company came in and took care of my husband. In fact, they went all the way with me. They came in, they gave comfort measures, they let my husband decide what he wanted, whether he wanted to eat, whether he wanted to be turned, just whatever he would nod his head to, whatever he desired, that's what the company performed. I was impressed even back then with the services of this company. Not only did they take care of my husband, but they followed him to the very end. And at the end of my husband's life, he was transported to the hospital, emergency room, to try to maybe get him to a state where he could breathe better on his own. He had lung cancer. And, of course, when we got there, not only was some of the staff with me, but more staff arrived to be there as a comfort measure to me and to my husband and my family. So I think when you choose a company, you want a company that's going to stand every step of the way with you. And that's what our hospice is all about. We're open to all faiths, whether they be Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Jews, Muslims or non-Christians, It does not matter. Black, white, there is no area that we don't cover. And we're open for our services. We want to show the love of God in our efforts. We want to be excellent listeners and good caregivers. And I think that when you make your choice and you make your physician aware of you, the fact that you have made this choice, it is up to him to say, if this is what you want, then this is what you should have. And then the patient will choose our company, which is Point of Change, and we will follow all the orders that the doctor gives us concerning you. But basically, your care in hospice is all governed by what you yourself wish to do.
And we just have a few more minutes here. And Norma, would you talk to us about, I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there that are listening right now, what does this cost me? How do we pay for this?
Most times we don't understand, but this is a cost that is covered by the federal government, which is Medicare benefits, and also Medicaid benefits by the state that you live in, and also your private pay insurance. Each one pays different, and the state pays the lowest. But the Medicare, which is your U.S. government, where you worked all these years and you retired or you became disabled, you have Medicare benefits. They pay up to 80% of our cost, and your private pays pay whatever you have agreed to in your insurance. Medicaid pays a limited amount. But understand this, we do not reject anyone.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us the ability to service all that come to us.
And I love that we don't reject anybody. Let everybody know the extent of what you do. It's not just Point of Change. You all do a number of things.
Yes, we have AAA Home Care. We have AAA Home Care Agency, Inc., and that's where the physician has ordered you to have home care nursing, where all the services are covered in your home. We come into your home. We come to your bedside. We are a visitor in your home. We don't come in to change. We come in to add to what's already going on and to improve your quality of care. The AAA Home Care Agency, Inc. will be established 10 years next year. And what we do is the doctor gives us an order to come in. Like you went to the doctor, all of a sudden you found out you was a diabetic. Or you went to the doctor, you found out you had high blood pressure. Or you done had cardiac problems. Or you done had cardiac surgery. You done had gallstone surgery. You done had an amputation. You done had a stroke. It covers everything. Mm-hmm. So we as nurses, we come in to follow the doctor's order. We come in case you don't understand your diabetes. You may not even know. You're in the hospital for a real brief time. Most times they don't get to explain everything, so that's our purpose. We follow up as continuity of care from your transition from the hospital back to your house. So what we do, we come in, and wherever you're at, that's where we start with you at. We come in and teach you your medicine. We come in and prepare and drop your insulin. We show you how to give your injection. If you're fearful, we try and work with the family, because a lot of family members are involved in their loved one's care. And the way things are changing, families are going to become involved again.
Very good. And one of the things also, it's not just Point of Change doesn't just sit on your bed. They also do everything else, don't they? Angie, quickly tell us about that. You talked about that you all will even get on your knees and do the cleaning that is necessary.
Yes, we would. We're just there to just take care of the patient. And as Leah said, I can remember countless of times just that close to the patient. You're up in the bed. You're trying to really make sure your patient is cared for. And we do all this with a smile.
Very good. And I want to give the number out again because that's the important part so people can get to you. The number is 535-4500. That's 535-4500. We have decades and decades and decades and decades and decades worth of experience. You all came from Homer G.
Amen.
All right, you came from Homer G. So we have lots of years of experience here, lots of love and lots of connection to the community. Point of Change, hospice care. Norma Brooks, Angie Harris, Cassie Stoner, and Jackie Rush, thank you so much for coming this morning, and we'll be talking again soon.
Thank you for having
Thank you.
Us.
Take
Thank
care.
You, Liz.
Take care. And Looking Black is next, folks. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Today is John Mark Carr's first full day in the Boulder, Colorado lockup. He was flown there from California yesterday. ABC's Jim Ryan's in Boulder.
Far from the relative luxury of his business class flight back to the United States, his three-hour trip from California was in a small turboprop plane. And his accommodations now?
It's concrete and steel, stainless steel bunk, stainless steel toilet and sink. It's small and compact.
Sheriff Joe Pelley says this is where John Mark Carr will spend up to 23 hours every day as prosecutors and defense attorneys work on the murder case against him. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Boulder, Colorado.
I looked to the west and I saw debris up in the air.
David Voss says the only reason that he is alive today is because he was in his big, sturdy old house. It was right in the middle of a path of a tornado that ripped through Nicollet, Minnesota yesterday. One of several funnel clouds spotted in the area. Residents in Underwood, North Dakota say the rough weather they expected yesterday was also the work of a twister. Forecasters will check that out. It's been a year since Hurricane Katrina and almost five since the 9/11 attacks, and the mayor of New Orleans has something to say about both incidents.
The mayor of New Orleans has become known for speaking his mind.
This city will be chocolate at the end of the day.
Now get off your asses and let's do something.
When asked by 60 Minutes about the seemingly slow pace of Hurricane Katrina recovery in his city, Ray Nagin defended himself.
You guys in New York City can't get a hole in the ground fixed. And it's 5 years later. So let's be fair.
The mayor's office here in New York said Lower Manhattan is thriving and added, we wish the same bright future for New Orleans. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
A tropical depression that's spinning south of Puerto Rico could become Tropical Storm Ernesto later today.
We expect it to move in a general direction of Jamaica. For the next couple of days, and then be in the northwestern Caribbean Sea by the start of next week.
That's Eric Blake with the National Hurricane Center. This is ABC News.
Big meeting in the morning and you're ready. All you need is a good night's sleep, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning and the pain.
Ooh.
Is driving you insane.
I gotta get some sleep. I should use Preparation H.
Why keep tossing and turning because of the itching and burning? Use Preparation H cream with maximum strength pain relief. Relieves burning and itching and adds maximum strength pain relief on contact. Nighttime's the right time too.
Ah.
For Preparation H cream, pain relief on contact. Use as directed.
Can you guess what that sound is? Let me help you out. It's a jail cell door getting slammed shut after you've been booked for DUI. Don't think you'll get caught? Think again. Officers are cracking down from coast to coast this month. So listen up. If you drive impaired, you will pay. Drunk driving, over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
This could be one of the worst cases of insurance fraud ever. Here's ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross.
Two State Farm insurance insiders are going public today, alleging the giant company cheated Hurricane Katrina victims in Mississippi. Carrie and Corey Rigsby have worked exclusively for State Farm for the last 8 years as independent adjusters. Now they've gone to state and federal prosecutors to say they saw State Farm supervisors demand outside engineers change damage reports so policyholder claims would not have to be paid. State Farm strongly denies what the sisters allege. But if proven, the sisters' allegations would support the suspicions of thousands of homeowners who feel State Farm wrongly denied their claims. I'm Brian Ross, ABC News.
Need a reason to have that second cup of Joe this morning? This could be it. Coffee is good for your liver. It's not the caffeine, it's the antioxidants. And if you are wondering, the average American downs about 3.5 cups a day. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, students in one Metro East school district won't be heading back to school today. Teachers in the Wolf Branch School District in Swansea voted yesterday to reject the school district's latest contract offer. Jeff Burke, the president of the local 6117 Wolf Branch Association of Teachers, says he understands that parents want a resolution.
Well, everybody suffers. You know, the kids suffer, the parents suffer, the teachers suffer. Everybody wants to be back in school. I think, again, we need to agree to compromise.
Burke says the board has only moved 0.5% for the 3-year life of the contract, and the union has lowered their requested salary by 3% over that same period. The district calls the teachers' demands unrealistic and unaffordable. A St. Louis area man will be sentenced this afternoon for the kidnapping of his daughter. Arlen Hill had been scheduled for sentencing yesterday, but the hearing was delayed. Hill pleaded guilty in June to kidnapping his then 17-month-old daughter in 2002. Hill and his daughter were found last June in New Zealand. A new highway work zone law takes effect Monday. The law imposes a fine of up to $10,000 for killing or injuring a highway worker. Drivers who hit highway workers could also lose their licenses for a year. The new penalties come in the wake of two recent deaths of workers in St. Louis area construction zones. Finally this hour, U.S. Senate candidate and Missouri State Auditor Claire McCaskill says in order for American students to compete in the global world, they need to have a good education. McCaskill pledges that, if elected, she'll work to help disadvantaged students get a world-class education. McCaskill says tuition at public universities also needs to be made more affordable. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ultimate Fighting Championship, Liddell vs. Sobral. Watch UFC 62 live this Saturday night on pay-per-view. The Iceman Chuck Liddell defends his title against Babalu Sobral. Use your digital remote Saturday to order Ultimate Fighting Championship. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by JCPenney. Northbound C-70 on the exit ramp for westbound 70 is scheduled to be closed at 7 p.m. this evening for construction work. It will resume opened 5 a.m. on Monday in both directions, northbound and southbound. 270 exit ramps to eastbound 40 are scheduled to be closed at 10 p.m. tonight for road maintenance operations. Detours will be in place and should be finished by 6 a.m. Saturday. Westbound 270 at 367 and New Florissant, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass, 270 looks good. Northbound 270 is slowing on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill all the way into 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays. Kingsbridge traffic at the Illinois Bank all the way back through LaQueen's Landing, expect delays there as well. Westbound Eastbridge traffic into downtown is looking good at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by JCPenney. Don't miss the JCPenney Super Saturday sale this Saturday. Doors open early at 8 a.m. with Super Doorbuster deals until 1 p.m. The JCPenney Super Saturday sale is all inside JCPenney. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, partly cloudy skies, 20% chance of showers this afternoon with a high in the lower 90s this evening. Showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms will continue, high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, pretty much the same, showers and thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air kills the brothers. Stop
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Looking black. We're coming up on the year anniversary of Katrina. We need to talk about a whole lot of stuff. We need to talk about it. And our guest this morning, our guest journalist, is columnist at blackcommentator.com, joining us from New York City, Letitia Stills. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What's on your mind this morning? Pick something.
I tend to generally just go with your flow, Liz, but I think Katrina being a large issue on the minds of black America, that warrants plenty of discussion.
Can we talk just a second about, it's fascinating to me. It is so fascinating. Two seemingly unrelated things in my mind. The criticisms leveled at Spike Lee's piece and this whole thing on Survivor with dividing these groups into race groups.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that America has such a difficult time with race.
Yes, they do.
And it's fascinating to me that the criticism, a lot of the criticism that I heard of Spike Lee's piece was that there aren't enough white people in it. People were saying that when looking at his film, you would think that nothing bad happened to any white people.
Well, he put the ones in there that had the most damage that had happened to them.
Uh-huh.
And I watched the piece.
Okay, what did you think of it?
I was fortunate enough to watch both nights, and I thought that it just basically put the nitty-gritty truth out there, and there is a segment of America that still does not want to admit that they put an incompetent in the White House, number one, and then they don't want to admit the hard, unyielding truth that the responses to victims of Katrina was largely predicated on race.
Absolutely. This is a race issue.
Yes, it is. And
if this had happened in Kennebunkport, this wouldn't have happened.
Well, you contrast Katrina and Rita.
All right.
Okay, Rita came right behind Katrina.
There you go.
And because of where Rita was targeted, there was more organized effort to get people evacuated in an orderly fashion. You know, resources were dispatched when they were needed, where they were needed. You didn't hear one-tenth of who got victimized in Hurricane Rita versus Hurricane Katrina. There's no excuse for, I knew something was up when the Canadian Mounties saw what was going on with Katrina, and they managed to get in to where the victims were, while the American government is looking American citizens in their face and basically lying to them, saying we can't get in. And here comes these Canadian Mountie people saying we got in.
There you go.
Something is very wrong there. And I think Spike Lee's documentary just brought that more to home, and it will do a good effort in keeping it on the forefront, because it dominated the news for maybe 2 weeks last year, and then everybody kind of wanted to brush it aside. And so it was good to distract from the war in Iraq for a minute. And then you had to tie in the war to Iraq and in blaming the slow response, because there was no money to pay for the resources that needed to go down there. There weren't the manpower that was needed to go down there and rescue people, because they were over in Iraq fighting.
There you go. And we'll be back. We have to take a quick break here. I'm talking to Leticia Stills, columnist at blackcommentator.com. This is Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown, and we've got much, much more to talk about. Stay with me.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. Our guest journalist this morning is Leticia Still. She is a columnist at blackcommentator.com, joining us from New York City. Leticia, welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to talk about, since we've been chatting up a little bit about Katrina, I think it's fascinating that there is a website that talks about all of the United States senators who have been to New Orleans. And what I did was I tried to do a comparison of the senators that have been to Louisiana and Katrina area, and the senators that have been over to Iraq. And more senators have been to Iraq than they have been United States senators than they've been to Louisiana.
Wow.
Barack Obama is over in Nigeria, I think, or no, where is he? He's over in Africa right now. I don't know if it's Nigeria, if they're visiting the home of his father.
Well, that would be Kenya.
Kenya. Okay, Kenya. And he hadn't been to New Orleans. Now, he's getting good press for being over there in Kenya.
I think that that would be a good question to step up in a forum that the senator hosts at this year's Congressional Black Caucus Legislative Weekend and ask him.
How many ask all of them. How many times have any of you been to New Orleans? Any of you?
It's very interesting to note that when they were holding the hearings on the government's slow response to Katrina, which was basically supposed to be an investigatory hearing into why the government's response broke down, Nancy Pelosi, who is the House Democratic leader,
She's also the chair of the Black Caucus too, isn't she?
If you look at how Mel Watt behaves, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But primarily, she when the Republicans decided to convene this panel, and I understand she didn't want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they might be really serious and concerned about, you know, why the government failed so abysmally in responding to Katrina victims, because many of the Republican representatives, that was their districts that got hit also.
Fact.
And I could understand her not giving the benefit of the doubt to the Republican Party. However, to forbid the Democratic caucus from participating in those hearings was a real slap in the face to Black caucus members as well as Black citizens who were, who were affected by Katrina. I mean, you know, if anybody that should have been leading the charge on the slow response to the Katrina victims, it should have been a Congressional Black Caucus. And again, Mel Watt's leadership yielded to Pelosi, whereas they should have just took a stand and said, you know, you really can't drive this. And it was it played a small part in Cynthia McKinney not getting her seniority back and now, you know, unfortunately losing her primary election, so we will no longer have her championing our issues in Congress. And who knows what the winner of that general election is going to do.
I know who paid.
Be a very viable member to the Black caucus at all.
I know who paid to bring him to us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I can't imagine that he is going to. He's going to be dancing with the folks that brung him.
Yeah, and that means that he has to dance with AIPAC. I think Denise Majette learned that lesson the hard way.
There you go.
And so, then going back to the issues of Katrina, I don't think that, you know, the House Minority Leader should have been dictating policy or dictating, you know, members of the Congressional Black Caucus that really wanted answers as to why did people get shafted? I mean, now, Benny Thompson and I think William Jefferson, they needed to make an appearance on that Katrina panel because it was going to look bad if they didn't. That was their districts that got directly hit by Katrina. But then when you had other members of the Black caucus that wanted to involve themselves, as well as other Democratic members of the House side, you know, the Democratic side of the caucus in the House that wanted to participate in those hearings, Pelosi put an edict down saying this is a Republican stunt and we shouldn't be party to it.
But nothing was done to replace it.
No.
You know, and ain't that some stuff?
And surprisingly enough, the Republican hearing on it came out and laid the blame at the feet of the President of the United States.
And the Democrats were nowhere to be found.
I'm sorry?
And the Democrats were nowhere to be found.
Only Cynthia McKinney was the one that was delivering that report on the floor of the House when it was over. I mean, you would think that in an instance like that, Bill Jefferson or Denny Thompson would have taken the floor of the House to deliver that report. But it was Cynthia who delivered it.
And what is just fascinating to me is that the reason why the Democratic leadership couldn't do anything, couldn't grab a hold of this, is because it does deal so much with race.
Yes, it does.
It's everything about race, and none of them want to touch race. None of them want to say the word poor.
No, nobody. They don't want to say poor. They don't want to say the word poverty. They don't want to deal with the issue of race. And race continues to tinge everything that we deal with here in this country. And I understand that, you know, while they are African-American lawmakers and they represent a diverse constituency, what affects black people tend to affect everybody.
We lift all, what we resolve as it pertains to people of African descent, we lift all boats.
Yes, we do.
If you fix the minimum wage issue, everybody's going to benefit from that. If you fix the health care issue, everybody's going to benefit from that.
Well, Liz, with sticks in my craw, let's talk about the minimum wage for
a minute. All right.
We can't get it above $5.15 in 10 years.
Right.
But Congress votes themselves at least a 5% raise every year without fail.
Well, and sometimes, in all fairness to the Congress, Letitia, sometimes they do it in the light of day and sometimes they do it in darkness. So there is a change in the location of the place where they vote themselves a raise.
You had a Bernie Sanders and a Dennis Kucinich basically saying we shouldn't be voting ourselves a raise until we get this minimum wage issue straightened out.
Fact.
And I think there was one member of Congress, a Democratic member, introduced a resolution basically saying we don't vote ourselves a raise until we get this straightened out. It was soundly defeated. And there wasn't a black caucus member to be found on that issue. And I'm like, how can you sit there with a straight face in the House of Representatives and basically talk about how you're going to fight for a minimum wage? And here was a very prime issue, opportunity for you to stand up with a House member who put a bill on the floor saying, we don't vote ourselves a raise until the Americans can get a livable wage, and you're not there. You're absent. You're missing in action. And that has been my frustration with the Black Caucus for the last 2 years is, they say one thing, and their actions speak solely in a different direction.
Well, you know, we have a Joe Lieberman Black Caucus. I'm just going to say it.
I think that, you know, when you look at the 25% of the caucus, which we label the derelicts of the Black Caucus,
mm-hmm.
they, you know, in some form or fashion, they will come forward and say Joe Lieberman was mentor of theirs.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm like, okay, that's poor mentorship.
Oh.
I have to commend the people in the state of Connecticut for being very smart and very politically savvy, because Joe Lieberman, when he ran his reelection primary, and he's, you know, thinking that he's going to just coast through, and this upstart named Ned Lamont gave him a fight and won.
He
basically thought he was going to coast on his civil rights record, which
blah,
was...
blah, blah, blah,
And that
blah.
Was a direct insult to blacks, and then you turn around and then you hire young Republicans to run your Democratic campaign.
Well, and let's talk about this, too, and we have to underscore this. Race only plays a role when they're using it as a stick. Joe Lieberman used the race issue to say after he lost the Democratic Party, we're not a Maxine Waters party. What did you say?
Well, see, first of all, you do not, if you are trying to win black voters, you do not, for the most part, start denigrating members of the Black Caucus like a Maxine Waters or John Conyers or Charlie Rangel, for that matter. You don't talk about those individuals. You just don't do that, because black people tend to hold them in high esteem, and rightfully so, because they are the few members of the Black Caucus that are still trying to fight for
but you also
that are important to African-American citizens.
But you're also revealing, you're underscoring and revealing for those who didn't see it before the election, you are revealing and underscoring who you are. You are just like, you're a Democrat who wasn't slammed by other Democrats for denigrating Maxine Waters.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Democrat that is using Maxine Waters as the same stick that the Republicans use her for.
Well, it kind of reminded me of that dismal election back in 1988 when George Herbert walked on Bush. Poppy Bush used the Willie Horton.
That's exactly right.
To beat Mike Dukakis.
That's exactly right.
To invoke Maxine Waters' name was reminiscent to me of the same thing.
It was Willie Hortonish.
Yes, and then I was thinking, I said, okay, you guys got Cynthia out of the way, so now Maxine's about to become your next target.
And that's why every member of the Black Caucus should have held on to her,
mm-hmm.
because just because they came for her then doesn't mean that they're not coming for you because they are.
And I think one of my columns I wrote about that, and I basically said Cynthia McKinney is taking a hit, and the way that the male members of the Black Caucus responded, I said that should send a warning signal. That should send a clarion call to the sisters in the Black Caucus. I'm like, if they're not going to protect her, do not expect them to protect you either.
We're going
to
take a break. My name is Liz Brown, Looking Black. Letitia Stills, columnist at blackcommentator.com. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic Drive-Ins. Northbound 270 at the exit to westbound 70 will be scheduled to be closed beginning at 7 p.m. this evening and won't be reopened until Monday morning at 5 a.m. The same is true with northbound and southbound 270 exits onto the eastbound 40. They're scheduled to be closed beginning at 10 p.m. this evening for road maintenance, and they will reopen at 6 a.m. on Saturday. Eastbound 40 at Timberlake Manor, there's an accident reported. Eastbound 40 at 141, look for an accident. The right lane's blocked. Westbound 270 between 367 and North Florissant, look for no problems to report. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Marshall, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 from Mason through Lindbergh, look for slow traffic there as well. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic and westbound Eastbridge traffic are looking pretty good at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito, crispy jalapeno strips, spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is the ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Partly cloudy today, 20% chance of showers this afternoon, high in the lower 90s this evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, low in the lower 70s. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms will continue with a high in the mid 80s, and pretty much the same for Sunday, showers and thunderstorms with a high in the mid 80s. Currently we have 72 degrees, Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Diana Borsa, Interim Superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools. We remain focused on one key component, academic achievement. We'll make sure that the doors of our schools will open on the first day of school, August 28th. Our teachers, staff, and administrators are working extremely hard to ensure a successful school year. I want to thank you for your continued support of the St. Louis Public Schools. And remember, together, we will make a difference.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
You don't have to be old to be wise. The bird doesn't wait till he dies.
Looking Black, The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, In Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And this is Looking Black because it's Friday at 7 o'clock. My guest journalist this morning is Lutitia Stills, columnist at blackcommentator.com, joining us from New York City. Lutitia, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
So what else is on your mind and your radar?
Well, as you know, we're getting ready to publish the third Congressional Black Caucus report card, the CBC Monitor report card that we do every year, twice a year, actually. And we're getting ready to put out, published one for September. And we've noticed some changes since we first started doing the report cards. And it is indicating to us that the members of the Black Caucus are aware that our group is out there and that we're monitoring their legislative activities. And I'm hoping to, in the next year, the team and I, we're hoping that we will be able to make the card a little more comprehensive in terms of explaining to the average citizen how the votes are being influenced by special interest money. And it's going to require us starting to look at where members of the Black Caucus are getting their campaign donations. And it's not to say that they automatically get a, black mark or points taken off if they are getting corporate donations, but we have to look at how friendly the corporations that donate money to them have been to the interest of African Americans overall. So if we see a member of the Black Caucus taking money from Walmart, that's going to raise a red flag with us. And it is not helping African Americans when you have longtime civil rights organizations such as the NAACP starting to take corporate donations from Walmart, because I think, as you probably remember, Liz, when corporations start getting into organizations like the NAACP.
Wait a minute. Slow down just for a second.
Sure.
Just slow down.
Slow that down.
Walmart is giving money to the NAACP.
Yes.
And the NAACP is taking it?
Yes. That's why they're asking you to boycott Target.
Lord, why are we supposed to be boycotting Target?
It's something about Target's treatment of customers and labor issues and everything. Walmart has been sued for.
Slow down again. Wait a minute. The largest lawsuit ever filed in this country about the treatment of women, and the lead plaintiff is a woman of African descent. The NAACP is not behind that. But they after Target.
Yes.
Ain't that some stuff?
And Target is a unionized employer.
They pay their
workers, above minimum wage scale. They provide benefits to their employees. In essence, places like Target, places like Costco, they treat their employees
very
like valued employees.
Yeah, they do. I know for Costco for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
And to me, someone needs, and it's not a surprise to me really, because the new CEO of the new head of the NAACP, Bruce Gordon, he's straight out of corporate America. He used to be a big exec with Verizon. So that's not a an exact surprise to me, but I guess it's like
the sheets are off, the covers are off, there ain't no shame in their game.
No, it isn't. What they still rely upon is they want blacks to remain ignorant, and they want us to just be happy that there's a black person sitting in a high position. And, maybe 30 or 40 years ago, black America went for that because it was a sign of progress in American society.
But looking back on it, it wasn't.
No, and that was when you started seeing the foundation of black America start to get eroded.
There you go.
It's not to say that assimilation is not a good thing, but when you try to assimilate to the point where you're no longer what sets you off distinctive from any other race.
And you've got nothing in as a result of your assimilation. What did we get?
We got nothing in return. I think that is one of the reasons why I will forever be irritated with the leadership of the Congressional Black Caucus, because they were so busy assimilating, they bargained away the store, and then they had nothing in which to, you know, call in as a bargaining chip when the time came. I looked at the Hispanic Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and one of the things that they were successful in doing in demanding a seat at the table was, I don't know if your leaders are familiar with the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. That is basically a formed committee within the Democratic Caucus of the United States House of Representatives that devotes itself to raising money for their incumbents and raising money for new members that they've recruited to run for congressional seats. Members of the Democratic Caucus and the Republican Caucus has one too, but they're required to pay dues into this committee, and the dues can be almost the equivalent of their yearly salaries. If you know, depending on your leadership ranking on committees within the congressional committees. So if you are a poor congressman from St. Louis and you're a freshman, the obligation that's on you is that you have to pay $100,000 in dues into this committee. And that's kind of hard to do when, you know, your salary is probably about $165,000 a year and you got to maintain residences in D.C. as well as your district. And so what that requires members of the caucus to do is start going out and raising, you know, campaign funds to pay those dues in large part. And I did an article about that in Black Commentator back in May, I think, which, you know, kind of explains it a little bit more. And so when you have that type of obligation coming on you when you first take office, your concern is not going to be to represent the interests of your district. Your concern is you're already thinking about getting reelected, and you're already thinking about how to meet this, you know, heavy financial obligation, and you're already thinking about where you're going to do it. And that's where the corporate donations start to come in, because they don't have the same restrictions as individuals in terms of donating campaign money.
And the Hispanic Caucus.
And the Hispanic Caucus basically told Nancy Pelosi, if we don't get a seat at the table, we're not paying our dues.
Wow.
And that's 15 of them who basically band together as a caucus and said, you know, you either start dealing with us and stop dealing with us like we're the gardener and everybody else, or else we're not going to give you this money.
And how did that work out for them?
They got a seat at the table in decision-making.
Ain't that some stuff?
And that was something that the Black Caucus could have done, but Mel Watt is too involved in his own personal ambition, trying to angle for a good position on some plum committee assignment. So he bargains away any bargaining chips the Black Caucus could have had as a caucus.
And what, how long is he going to be the chairman of the Black Caucus?
My understanding is they should be electing a new one at this year's Congressional Black Caucus.
And who are they talking about? Who are they talking about?
Hopefully that person will be taken over for the next 2 years, starting in September.
And what names are being tossed around?
Two sisters, actually, Barbara Lee and Carolyn Cheeks Kilpatrick of Michigan.
Well, I'm two thumbs up for both of them.
And right now the nod is that Kilpatrick is in the lead with getting that.
Okay.
And either one of those ladies would be a prime. A good, you know, chairperson.
And they've gotten good grades on your reports.
Yes, they have. They have consistently scored with 95% or better in terms of their voting records.
Uh-huh.
And so, but I just think they're two down-to-earth, no-nonsense women. And I think, you know, Barbara Lee, and she's my home representative, and I think she'd be a good candidate. But I like Cheeks Kilpatrick because she's from Detroit. She's no nonsense, and I think she could really whip the caucus into shape, and she doesn't have the time to be nice about it.
Very good. All of that. Two thumbs up for that. And we're going to take a quick break here, but before we go, is there any way that you can make as part of your report a little Katrina report? Who's been down there and who hasn't?
You know, we could do that, and I'm going to ask a favor of your show, Liz, because we'd like to put, you know, we'd like to put the results of the report card out there on a bigger scale than just running it and publishing it in Black Commentator.
Sure.
Although Black Commentator gets about 50, 60,000 readers, it still surprises me when I travel around this country and, you know, you talk to people about politics and they ask, well, who's the bad actors? And it's like, didn't you see the report card?
There you go.
But we could make a little bonus section about who's been attentive to the issues regarding Hurricane Katrina, by all means.
Absolutely. I think that would open the eyes of so many of their constituents. What, you mean you haven't even been there?
Yeah.
We're going to come back talking to Letitia Stills, columnist at blackcommentator.com. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. I know it's always difficult when people have to consider making the decision of, what do I do when my family member, my loved one is facing that very difficult choice and that very difficult journey of moving on. Well, you need to talk to somebody about hospice care. And the people that you need to talk to is Point of Change Hospice Care. They give you skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, trained hospice volunteers, physician-ordered services. They accept Medicare, Medicaid, private health insurance. You see, families turn to hospice care when they are facing the terminal illness of a loved one. And Point of Change Hospice provides the environment where families can cope with the transition of their loved one in a supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. You need to give them a call at 535-4500, 535-4500. And know this also, they are the only African-American licensed hospice care center in the state of Missouri. The Point of Change Hospice. Give them a call, 535-4501.
I'm Controller Darlene Green, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This is expected to be one of our most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August 28th.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, your big screen televisions, your little screen DVD players, your tools, your lawnmowers? How about this? A generator. Every home needs a generator. Get on down to Sears, black owned and operated. Sears Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on, when you dig out your Sears card, because everybody has a Sears card, get on over to Sears and tell Jerome Williams I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. For free estimates, call 602-1047. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline, Beirut. An environmental disaster is unfolding off the coast of Lebanon. An oil slick has developed after the GA power station was blown up by Israeli warplanes during the recent conflict against Hezbollah. The slick is now covering about 50 miles of the coastline and could involve as much oil as was lost during the Exxon Valdez accident in Alaska in 1989. Many international organizations have entered the picture to try and help the Lebanese government contain the thousands of tons of lost oil. Some of it has now settled to the bottom of the seafloor and is posing a danger to an area where tuna spawn. Oil slicks on beaches will also prevent baby turtles from reaching the sea after they hatch. It will also have short and long-term impacts on the fishing and related industries such as tourism that people rely on for their livelihoods. And a Dateline Baton Rouge.
Last week in the Louisiana town of Coushatta, 9 black children were told by their white school bus driver that they had to move to the back of the bus because the front seats were reserved for white children to ride in. Relatives of the black children are expressing outrage over the incident and have filed a complaint with school officials. The NAACP also says it plans to file a formal complaint with the Justice Department over the matter, but may take it even further and look into the student-teacher ratio as it pertains to black and white children, as well as seek a breakdown of the numbers of black and white teachers employed by that district. The students involved were from the Red River Elementary School in Red River Parish. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it. Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this morning is Letitia Stills, columnist at blackcommentator.com, joining us from New York City. And welcome back again. Let me get to a caller or two or three here. David, do you have a question or comment? David.
No, I didn't.
All right, we're going to put some of our callers off on hold for a second, Letitia. I want to get to something that is, I don't know if it caught you, if it made it onto your radar or not. I mentioned it slightly in the beginning. This whole Survivor piece where they're dividing the groups up into race, have you heard about this?
It's not surprising to me, considering that, you know, all the criticism that's being heralded at Spike Lee's documentary. So I'm not surprised that's happening.
But they're dividing people into a group of people of African descent, Asian folks, Hispanic folks, and white folks. 4 different teams, 4 different tribes. And Rush Limbaugh is already he's already commented on it, said the black players would lose because they can't swim, and then made some racist comment about Hispanics doing the jobs that nobody else would do.
You know, Liz, I'm wondering why people continue to give Rush Limbaugh airtime, because he continues to say, you know, these divisive things and dividing the stuff into teams. This is not the issue of Hurricane Katrina is not something that to be divided up for sport or speculation. These were real people with real lives, and their very real lives got disrupted by a natural disaster that our government failed to respond to in adequate fashion. And now they want to make these divisions and issues of race to distract from the real issues that are going on, not only here in this country, but abroad. Here in this country is being the fact that 70% of the Katrina victims are African American. That's a fact. And the fact is that, you know, I honestly believe that there is a faction in Washington that just hoped that, you know, that 70% would just drown and go away. We did not do that. And there were certain people who had a humanitarian streak that kept it alive and continued to keep it alive. And to, you know, to waste a lot of time dividing this stuff about who was the best survivor in terms of race, then I would say that African Americans win without question, because we are still they're still down there. They're still there. We're still here. We've weathered a lot of machinations to take out the African American race, and they have not been successful. They got some of us, but they never got everybody. They never succeeded in total evisceration of the race. So my thought on all of that is that's a hideous thing to do, but if you want to put a bet on somebody, they need to bet on black.
1-877-920-WGNU. David.
Thank you, and sorry for the earlier call. Look, you know, I had a big problem with that documentary, but it's as usual. Spike Lee is in his usual form. You know, if you looked at Malcolm X, this thing is the same thing. There was information that wasn't brought out about the killing of Malcolm X. The same thing when you look at Katrina. I didn't hear anything about Blackwater when I looked at the first documentary. Also, what was absent from it, glaringly absent from it, was the type of aid that was coming in from all around the world, from different entities that wanted to help black people, and the United States government stopped it. That, you know, I think it comes a time where we need to start doing some things that are very important. Not just start looking at these incidents and talk about how we endured from them or how we went through all this difficulty and we're still here. You know, that's commendable to a certain degree, but roaches endure. The thing about it is to start reacting with effective plans to start protecting our people, to provide services for our people. You know, it's not good enough to hear some churches talk about we sent some water down. They just didn't get it. You know, what should come out of this is a change in political leadership, because we don't have black political officials. We have black politicians, and they're willing to just poly their positions around to get something for themselves, nothing from the people. And I think we should be able to come away from this with one thing in mind. Start looking at the individuals that are in position of so-called power and see how they're organizing to make sure something like this, if it does happen again, it wouldn't affect our people the way it did this time.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
And that gets back to the report card that you put out twice a year.
Yes.
You know, I mean, in terms of the first thing, I guess, is to be able to get to the people and let them know about what your elected officials are and are not doing. Too long they've gone without people, with just our trust and our belief that they were going to do right.
Well, I think it goes back to something I said at the top of your show. The time for celebrating a black face in high place is over.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it surprises me that in the year 2006, there is a great faction of the Congressional Black Caucus, mostly members in the South, who think that, okay, you're supposed to vote for me because I'm African American, and yet I'm going to screw you over every chance I get. And Katrina, I don't care what anyone says, and this is Letitia Steele's opinion, not the Congressional Black, you know, not CDC Monitor or anything else. I thought personally that Katrina pulled the sheets off William Jefferson's representation.
There you go.
Totally.
There you go.
Because I'm like, okay, you had 70% of this population that could not evacuate because they did not have the disposable income that would have helped them to evacuate.
There you
and
go.
They were being asked to evacuate.
There you go.
And then, you know, and you sit there, you have been in Congress, you've been there for like 15, 16 years. Your constituency, a large number of your constituency, is making below minimum wage and living below poverty level, what's considered your poverty level. And yet they catch you with $90,000 in your freezer.
In your freezer. In your freezer.
And the first thing, even before I knew Jefferson was being investigated, that being aside, my first thought, and I put a blog entry out that said Bill Jefferson shouldn't win re-election. I was like, Katrina pulled the covers off.
And that's why, you know what, Letitia, I really think it would be a Katrina report would really be an empowering thing to add to the report, because I think people would be shocked, given that 70% of the people were of African descent, how dismal the participation, the interest, and the action on the Black caucus has been on this issue.
Well, let's just say inaction on the part of the Black caucus, because as I said, Pelosi gave an order to the Democratic side of the House to not participate in that Katrina hearing. And it's like, I don't care if, you know, the Republicans convened that.
They
should have been at the table to ask questions, raise objections. They should have been there to question Michael Brown of FEMA about his operation. They should have been
and
there to ask those questions.
And that has to be the last word. Letitia Stills, columnist at blackcommentator.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
Listen, folks, we'll be back. Stay with us.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. John Mark Carr will spend the weekend in a Colorado jail as he waits for his first court appearance in the JonBenet Ramsey case. More from ABC's Heather Nauert in Boulder.
8 days after his arrest in Thailand and 9,000 miles from where his journey began, John Mark Carr arrived in Boulder. He flew on a state-owned turboprop plane for 3 hours from Los Angeles to Colorado and landed at a small airport south of Boulder.
Carr's family says he was not in Boulder when the six-year-old beauty queen was killed. His half-brother Nate says he's worried about Carr's mental state.
My immediate thought is, you know, what have they done to him to make this happen? Because he looked to me like he had been drugged almost or something. It wasn't the John that I know.
Carr could be in court as early as next week. A flight from New York was evacuated in Shannon, Ireland today. Police in Dublin got a call there was a bomb on board the Aer Lingus flight. All 239 passengers made it off safely. There were no traces of explosives found. At least one person is dead in a series of tornadoes to hit parts of the Midwest. The twister slammed into a home in Cassota, Minnesota yesterday. This woman lost her house in another tornado in Nicolet.
I was down in the basement and just heard, like they say, the train sound coming and saw the whirling out of the windows, and within 30 seconds it was done.
There were about 24 funnel cloud sightings in Minnesota and in North Dakota yesterday. The president of France calls a 15,000-member UN peacekeeping force in Lebanon excessive. He's already agreed to expand his country's commitment in Lebanon to 2,000 troops. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin is speaking out again. This is what he told CBS's 60 Minutes when he was asked about some lingering damage to his city a year after Hurricane Katrina.
You guys in New York City can't get a hole in the ground fixed, and it's 5 years later. So let's be fair.
This is ABC News.
B.F. Goodrich tires have won all over the world. Here's how you say victory in Portuguese, B.F. Goodrich tires. Español, B.F. Goodrich tires. Valuable insight from the tire that's won 20 straight Score Baja 1000s and more rock crawling championships than all other tires combined.
Visit any auto tire, the Tire Pros, from August 7th to September 3rd and receive an instant $50 off custom wheels, accessories, warranties, and services when you buy four new select BF Goodrich light truck or SUV tires. See store for details.
Drop everything. The Toyota Time nationwide clearance event is on now. See why Toyota is the number one brand in passenger car sales in America. With cars like the sporty, fuel-efficient Corolla, it's a great time to buy the unstoppable Tundra or the five-star rated Highlander. The clock's ticking. Drop into the Toyota Time event today. Toyota, moving forward.
Based on how equipment completes total passenger car registrations by May for calendar year 2005. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration 5-star federal crash test rating. Ratings only meaningful when comparing vehicles in the same weight class. www.safercar.gov.
Is happy. No, this isn't a joke.
Hey, boy, come here, quick.
What's a happy chicken?
What's a big R say? What's a big R did?
The animal rights group Hugs for Puppies filed a Better Business Bureau complaint in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It charged how could Creeder Farms advertise its chickens as happy and well-treated. So Creeder changed its slogan to Contented.
That's fair and square, and if you'd stop all your arguing and jawing, you'd see my side of it.
Creeder maintains that its farms comply with industry standards on animal treatment.
Yep, yep, yep. Keep that mouth flapping and do no listening.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
They thought it was a pretty plan. So the residents of a retirement community near Phoenix watered it and fed it, and it grew. And it grew to more than 5 feet. Turns out it wasn't just a weed, it was the weed. Sheriff's deputy passing by saw it and yanked it out, but he didn't arrest anyone. He's guessing that one of the residents' kids or grandkids may have mistakenly dropped a little something on a visit. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, Illinois won't be receiving federal aid for the cleanup from last month's storms. FEMA has denied the state's request for assistance for Madison County and the rest of the Metro East. Madison County Board Chairman Alan Dunston says the county's recovery costs have climbed past $1.4 million and they felt they'd qualify for federal help. Governor Rod Blagojevich will appeal FEMA's decision. A memorial service is planned next week for a murdered Clemson University student from Ladue. Clemson will hold a service and a wreath-laying ceremony next Friday afternoon for Tiffany Sowers. Jerry Buck Inman is charged with killing Sowers on May 26th. Prosecutors plan to ask for the death penalty for Inman. The Metrolink Cross County Extension and the surrounding communities are celebrating the extension's grand opening on Monday. LinkFest will take place across from the Shrewsbury Station tomorrow. Kathy Farrell of Metro explains what will be going on.
And there's going to be food and beverages and games for the kids and booths from businesses all up and down the alignment and different municipalities and all kinds of service organizations are going to be down here. So there's going to be a lot of fun with live entertainment, and that's going to last from 2 until 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Fireworks will follow the festivities tomorrow night, beginning at around 8:05. Metrolink will allow passengers to ride on the Cross County Extension for free on Saturday from noon until 9:15 p.m. and on Sunday from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Revenue collections begin Monday. Finally this hour, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests and the Southern Illinois Association of Priests are sponsoring a screening of an HBO movie documenting priest sexual abuse. Barbara Doris, the victim's outreach coordinator for SNAP, says it's wonderful that members of the clergy are supporting victims by supporting the showing of Twist of Faith. The documentary follows the life of Toledo firefighter Toby Combs as he tries to heal from the abuse he suffered at the hands of a priest. Twist of Faith will be shown at 6 tonight at Southwestern Illinois College in Belleville. The screening is free and open to the public. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for the new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito, crispy jalapeno strips, and spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by J.C. Penney. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for stop-and-go traffic with an accident at T.R. Hughes. Northbound 270 at the exit ramp to westbound 70 will be scheduled to be closed beginning at 7 p.m. this evening. Work will be finished by 5 a.m. on Monday. And westbound 70 at Air Flight, look for an accident there that has been cleared, but there may be some delays. Westbound 270 at 367 New Florissant, look for normal traffic. Northbound 270 at Savington and 44 is slow, and all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by JCPenney. Don't miss the JCPenney Super Saturday sale. This Saturday, doors open early, 8 a.m., with doorbusters till 1 p.m. The JCPenney Super Saturday sale, it's all inside JCPenney. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s for this evening. Look for showers and thunderstorms likely, low in the lower 70s for Saturday and Sunday. Pretty much the same. Showers and thunderstorms both days with a high in the mid-90s. Currently, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Do not forget, this show is broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. That means we're streamed at wgnu.net. Also, the Wake Up Call is archived every hour at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, you can go get an hour. We have much to talk about. There was an extraordinary entry on a blog by the Noriel Roubini, president of the Roubini Global Economics. He said that the United States would be in a recession in 2007. He said that the reason we will be in a recession in 2007 is that there will be the collapse of the housing industry. This is the biggest slump in housing slump in the past four or five decades. Every housing indicator is in free fall, including now housing prices. He said the decline in investment in the housing sector will exceed the drop in investment when the NASDAQ collapsed in 2000 and 2001. In Washington, D.C., an analysis of the nation's most important labor market survey finds that the official estimates of the number of Americans living in poverty and without health insurance may significantly underestimate the true number of poor and uninsured. They haven't counted them all. There are more poor people and more uninsured people than this, our good government is telling us. We may very well be facing a recession in 2007. We may be in one now. Y'all can feel it. You feel the pinch and the squeeze and the troubled times that we're living in. Even though some of you may be distracted by JonBenet, allow yourself to be distracted by JonBenet. You need to be focusing on the reality of the world that we're living in and the political decisions that have been made to get us here and keep us here. If the poor are suffering worse, if there's more of the poor than we knew, what say you of the middle class? How's the middle class doing out here? We need to talk about it. And our guest this morning to facilitate that conversation is Dr. Richard Levins. He is joining us from Minneapolis, Minnesota. He is a senior fellow at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. Doctor, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you. I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad to be anywhere after the night we had here in Minneapolis, the tornadoes and hail like you wouldn't believe. But
Well, I hope you all don't end up like Illinois. Apparently, FEMA says they're not going to pay for when similar things like that just happen to Illinois. So
I'd be happy if they'd pay for my flooded car, but I don't think they are.
Probably not. Probably not. So how's the middle class faring out here?
You know, the middle class is in really tough shape, and I don't need to tell your listeners that. Of course, they know that. But I'm an economist, and we study this thing called the income distribution, the split between the rich and poor. It's as bad as it's been since right before the Depression, and that's a real scary thing. But the things you were talking about earlier are all contributing. I mean, try to get some health care, try to buy some gasoline, try to do this, try to do that, try to make a living, try to get a wage. All that is much, much more difficult than it was not too long ago.
And do you think that we're being told this clearly and consistently, or are we given rosy outlooks of you know, the job market is good, inflation is low?
Oh, gosh, isn't that something? I bet you haven't got a listener out there that believes this economy is doing well, but that's the official line. It's amazing. Business Week magazine just did a poll. I read it this week, and they asked people, do you think this economy is going to be better or worse a year from now? 2 out of 3 said worse. 1/4 of them said about the same. 6%, 6 out of 100, said this thing's going to be better a year from now.
Mm.
Here we still got this message out there, the economy is booming.
We're going to take a break. We're talking to Dr. Richard Levins. He is a senior fellow at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. Joining us from Minneapolis, we'll be back.
All over the world. Here's how you say victory in
Portuguese.
BF Goodrich Tires.
Español.
BF Goodrich Tires. Valuable insight from the tire that's won 20 straight Score Baja 1000s and more rock crawling championships than all other tires combined.
Visit any auto tire, the Tire Pros, from August 7th to September 3rd and receive an instant $50 off custom wheels, accessories, warranties, and services when you buy 4 new select BF Goodrich light truck or SUV tires. See store for details.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Time has come today. Young hearts can go their way. Can't put it all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour is Dr. Richard Levins. He's a senior fellow at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, joining us from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Dr. Levins, let's talk about the middle class from the union perspective.
Well, that's a good way to look at it, Ms. Brown, because what happens is a lot of people think middle-class economies just happen. You know, we got lucky or something. Middle class doesn't happen. You can just as easily have a society where a very few people are rich and a whole lot of people are poor, and that's kind of where we're going. The thing that makes an economy middle class is you got power in the middle class. And the way you get that power in the middle class is strong labor unions. That's what we had when we had a strong middle class. And that's what we don't have when we don't have a strong middle class. And that's really starting to get on my mind lately.
Well, what is the, where do you see the beginning of the change and the impact of unions?
Well, this is a kind of an anniversary year. I think it's 25 years ago that President Reagan broke the air traffic controller strike. I think a lot of your listeners might remember that. And if you look back what was going on then, that year, I looked it up, the average savings rate, you know, for across the board was a little over 10%. It means the average person able to set aside 10% of their money. I bet everybody knows what it is now. It's below zero, and it has been for a year and a half. We're not getting our money in wages. So where are we getting our money? We're getting it through borrowing. That's when I heard you talking about this housing thing falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
That makes that so scary. Because we've been skating on borrowed money now for a long time.
And we've been encouraged to skate on borrowed money.
Yeah.
We've had commercials of people pulling your equity out of your house to pay off your credit cards, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
And our government has also allowed that with the interest rates.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about your low wage. Just give this ownership society nonsense and get out there and borrow some money and buy you some stock or buy you a house. That makes no sense at all if you got to pay an inflated price for the stock in the house. You just get farther and farther behind, and there's no union out there to make those folks who are taking the money and run give it back to you in wages.
But don't we also have to lay some of the blame, or maybe a lot of the blame, at the feet of the union? Didn't the unions get fat and comfortable? Didn't they feel that they had a lot of their middle class now wanted to be part of the other class? And when union members started voting with Ronald Reagan.
That happened, I think, for certain social issues. I mean, a lot of people were choosing between, you know, guns and wages there.
And how did that work out for them?
Well, they've been busted. That's what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really tough. You know, it's so easy for the very wealthy to hang together because there's so few of them.
Mm-hmm. And they have a long way to fall before they hit bottom.
Oh, gosh, yes. They got plenty of cushion.
Yes, they do.
Everyone else needs to stick together and keep a lot of people on the same track to have that same power where you can look them in the eye and say, no, you won't make $200 million a year. We need some of that money. We need it in wages.
Do you see that happening? Do you see the unions moving in any direction? I know that the union, one of the labor unions just endorsed Lieberman over Ned Lamont.
There's a lot of political stuff going on that makes no sense at all.
I mean, how do you do that?
I mean, you sit back and you wonder, what in the world are people thinking? Even the Democratic Leadership Council's new policy, this American Dream, doesn't even mention the word union. Where are people going to get the power to do what they need to do? You can't just give people stuff and keep them helpless. That doesn't work.
Well, a lot of people use the phrase, when you're fighting with someone or when you're fighting at all, one successful method of winning is to divide and conquer. Hasn't there been a successful division in this country of the haves from the have-nots, the middle class from the poor, the rich from the middle class, and you have people that ran for the presidency that didn't even mention the word poor in their conversation?
They barely even mentioned middle class
because
they are so wealthy they couldn't even imagine what it's like to be a normal person.
Mm.
But you look at the data, which is, of course, when you have work like mine, you do all the time. This, the top 1% is about the only group in this economy that's done anything good for themselves and since President Bush took office. That's a long time. You've got enormous increases in their wealth, amazing tax breaks for them, and nothing for anyone else. On top of that, Ms. Brown, sounds like you'd agree with me on this. You know, you've got a you've got this constant message out there, save yourself, save yourself, save yourself. Get out there and make a smart investment. You know, buy that house.
Bootstraps. Bootstraps. Pull yourself up. Bootstraps.
Exactly. It's your fault that you're not doing well. It's your fault. It's your fault. And it's our hard work that made us 20 zillionaires. That's not the way it works. It's just where the power is. And if you haven't got the power, you're not going to do well. That's all there is to it. Even if you do, somebody's going to take it away from you.
It's the Democrats that push through CAFTA.
You aren't telling me anything I don't know.
You know, and NAFTA, I mean, neither one of them could have gotten passed without Democrats.
Not even close. But, I mean, you have to wonder, what are these people thinking? Except, somehow in the back of their mind, they got this idea that it's all right to give up good jobs just so long as you can have a cheap toaster. But when you do that, of course, you lose all the buying power in the middle class. You can make all this stuff with cheap labor, but who's going to buy it? Nobody.
But is the problem, Dr. Levins, is the problem the nature of how the economy works in the United States of America? Our economy is predicated upon how much stuff we buy.
That's what drives it. And if people don't have wages, they can't buy it. And when they can't buy it, it's just like what you're seeing in the housing market. It starts to get pretty soft in a hurry. All this talk of a recession next year, that makes a lot of sense to me.
And but what is interesting is, as I look at this article about how this one economist is making this this prediction, he's being trashed by other economists saying that, you know, no, that's ridiculous. That is certainly not something. It's not going to be, if we have one, it's not going to be that bad. But a lot of our economy is dependent upon what happens in the housing market.
Oh, sure. Our economy is, right now, is predicated on what happens with all this borrowed money. Mm. Yeah, if you just count how much people are buying and don't worry about whether or not they bought it with wages or borrowed money, we're doing pretty well. But if you start to worry about, my gosh, people can only borrow so much, and you can only cut their wages so much to where they can't borrow anymore, then you got to be getting nervous. And that's why I hope so much that people will start to take a fresh look at these labor unions and realize that if we can't get this money through wages, we're done.
Are the labor unions taking a look at themselves and their relevance in this fight?
You know, I was so encouraged. I spent the last couple of days at a convention of the United Steelworkers, and most of the workers there were in the energy industry, you know, gas and electricity. I came away there feeling about 10 times better than when I went in. There was a lot of energy, a lot of people seeing the world the way that I think they ought to be seeing it. A lot of people, a lot of energy saying we're going to organize these people and we're going to get out of this mess. It's the only way out. And people can say, well, that's going to be tough. But if it's the only way and you don't do it, you're in a lot of trouble.
How much does race play into this? In terms of the decisions that have been made, when we talk about some of the decisions, the support decisions that the union members have made, they moved out to the suburbs, they started voting in the same party of the man that took the first successful hit at their elimination, Ronald Reagan. And we saw a divide and conquer attitude and understanding going through the unions, that this is, you talked about the social issue, separating yourself from other people upon color. How much does race play in the decision making and the reason why we're here right now?
Well, I grew up in the South, and I know what you're talking about. But what I've been noticing is it doesn't matter how you split people up. You know, you say the economy's not doing well. What do? They introduce a bill to ban flag raising. Ban flag burning.
Mm-hmm.
You say the economy's not doing well, they say we need to do something about abortion. The economy's not doing well, we need to do something about gun control.
Or gay marriage.
Oh, gay marriage. After 11, we forgot the best one of all. I mean, just finding any way to marginalize some of the people so we'll be fighting with each other instead of doing what we need to do to save the economy. And it's just sad and tragic that it's going that way. that if people would see themselves as people who are either in the middle class or want to be in the middle class, and how are we going to get there, and let this other stuff set aside for a while till we do, we'd be a whole lot better off, because no one's going to like where we're going to wind up the way we're going.
We're going to take a break. I am talking to Dr. Richard Levin, Senior Fellow at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. He is also the author of a book, Middle Class Union Made. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back to continue this this conversation. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Northbound 270 onto the ramps to westbound 70 are scheduled to be closed beginning at 7 p.m. this evening. Work is scheduled to be finished by 5 a.m. on Monday morning. Westbound 70 at Air Flight, there's an incident that's been cleared. There may be some delays. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass, look for some delays there. Northbound 270 from Sappington to 44, look for slow traffic, and all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are delayed at this hour going into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Watch UFC 62 live this Saturday night on pay-per-view. The Iceman, Chuck Liddell, defends his title against Babalu Sobral. Use your digital remote Saturday to order the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies, 20% chance of showers this afternoon, high in the lower 90s this evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday and Sunday, pretty much showers and thunderstorms both days, with a high in the mid-80s both days. Currently, we have 85 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 85. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Sears, where else? You're going to go down there. You're going to get your washer, your dryer, your refrigerators, your stoves, everything that you need to make your home a palace. Look, fall's coming up. You're going to need some leaf blowers. You're going to need some lawn mowers. You're going to need some tools. Get on down to Sears, the only Sears in the city of St. Louis at the corner of Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Dr. Richard Levins. He's a senior fellow at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's also the author of a book, Middle Class, Union Made. And Dr. Levins, welcome back. Let me get to a caller or two here. Marty, you have a question for Dr. Levins.
Yes, I do. Good morning, Liz, and to your guest.
Hey.
I want to know, what do you think about a union that can vote itself a raise without having its the people that support it out getting a raise for like 5 years or anything like that, and they're constantly giving themselves raises, and they're not giving the people who support them raises? Should they get a raise and without the people that's supporting them getting a raise? That's one of the questions I want to ask.
Thanks, Marty.
Hello, Marty. You know, I get this question a lot. People want to focus on some of the inequities within the union, and sound like you got one of them there, you know, a situation where people need to be taking better care of their members and maybe not of themselves. But the more you worry about that, the more you lose sight of the fact that somebody out there in the management and ownership of that company is making hundreds of times more than anybody in that union. So try to stay focused on that, but don't let them get away with this. I mean, the unions have to provide some benefits. They have to be strong enough to do something or people won't stay with them.
But it's like any other relationship. How do you get out of this relationship? Do you change the membership or the leadership of this relationship? Because when unions don't do what they're supposed to be doing, and the perception out there is that they're not doing what they're supposed
exactly.
to be doing for their membership, how do people get inspired to be part of it, or to even see them as a relevant solution?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of money who want you to feel that way, that the unions are the problem. You know, I live here in Minneapolis. We got a thing called Northwest Airlines, and they're blaming all the working people for that, for the fact they're bankrupt. And if only those working people would work for half as much, they'd be okay. Well, what about those working people? They wouldn't be okay. But we've got that going on everywhere, that we can't be competitive if we have decent wages. That message is out there. They say, don't worry about it. Borrow some money and make an investment. That's a formula for disaster. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. You have to stay focused that you need power to play this game. If the way you're getting the power isn't working, you need to change it. But you don't need to bail out back the old pull yourself up by your bootstraps, go it alone.
Do you really hear, Dr. Levins, that people that are really throwing unions out, or are they just disconnecting from them? Are people really saying that, you know, we don't need unions, or simply that the ones that we have are not working?
That's more it. And, you know, Marty's question, like I said, comes up a lot. Sometimes people say, well, I just saw they spent so many dollars on a convention. What about me? What about this? What about that? The unions right now are a small enough percentage of our total workforce. They're going to have a real struggle unless more people wake up and say we need to be with them to build up that power.
The other side
would be very happy not to have any unions at all.
Well, what's the solution then?
In my mind, you know, after all, it's just one person here talking, that it's going to have to be that people come to associate unions and a healthy middle class. That's the way to get a healthy middle class. That's the way to have a healthy economy, is to balance the power between the people who work for a living and the people who own something for a living. If we can't do that, I think I remember right at the beginning I said we're as bad off in income distribution as we were in 1929. You still got a few listeners out there who remember what happened a year after 1929, and it wasn't a recession. It was a terrible mess. That's what concerns me. You lose all that buying power, and things can fall apart in a hurry. To save that, we need the unions. If people would like to take a look at the book, it's a real short book, but it might help them think through this more. It's available at a place called Itasca Books on the internet. I could give them a phone number too. It's 800-901-3480. But I hope people would have a chance to take a look at this little book and see if they don't agree with me that arguing about whether or not their particular union's doing the best job or whether or not they ought to have guns or whether or not they ought to have gay marriage or whether or not they ought to be able to burn the flag is exactly what the other side wants you to do.
Let me get to another caller here. You have a question for our guest, Richard Levins.
I have an answer about the gentleman who called in and said about the union executives giving herself raises. Well, in 1962, the Machinist Union changed their constitution. And we told some of the members to get down there and vote against it. And it was the thing they changed was that the union officials could raise your dues as they saw fit. Well, the membership didn't participate and voted down. It got in, and they started raising the dues. It used to be that the members had to vote to raise the dues. They gave them the power, the executives, to do it, which turned it into a company instead of a union. Thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Levins.
Right. I can't argue with what he just said. I mean, obviously he knows what he's talking about with that union.
And to me, it's less about the specificness of his union, but about what has happened with the alliance towards the unions, that people have disconnected from the whole process. I wonder if anybody knows any of the history of how unions came about. I wonder if anybody appreciates or people are not taught to appreciate or to know what happened before. And maybe, Dr. Levins, maybe we have to get to the bottom before there's going to be a fight about keeping unions. Maybe a bad recession has to come to make people clear-eyed upon what needs to be done.
Well, history is kind of on your side there, saying what you did. I mean, people remember that the real birth of the union movement was in the middle of the Depression, but
mm-hmm.
I certainly hope we don't have to do that again.
How could, and part of me believes, how could it be otherwise? If there is a disconnect between the history of how the organizations came about, if there's a disconnect between what the relevance of the organization today, and a disconnect really of how dire our situation is right now, what would make people reach out for them?
Right. I mean, you have to have some reason to do it. But, you know, there's a lot more people falling off this train, just like I think it was you saying right at the beginning of the show, a lot more people falling off the train than we're being told about.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people who are going to have to say, my gosh, maybe what I've been doing in the past isn't the way to go. I was promised all this stuff. I would just borrow some money and put it here and put it there, and all of a sudden I can't even afford health care. I can't afford my mortgage. I can't afford my car payment. What in the world happened? They're going to have to be thinking it'd been nice if I'd had some better wages during all that time.
So that I could have saved. But also there has to be a mindset to live in the consumeristic, because like we said, this economy of the United States is based upon how much stuff we buy, and every message that we get out there is that we are supposed to be buying, buying, buying. To live in a consumeristic world like ours, it's going to take a whole lot to disconnect people from the consumerism that we face every single day.
That's going to be a huge job. I mean, clearly in the last 25 years, we've been kind of pushed in a direction that is just not going to be able to keep going. But where it winds up is something that most of us still have something to say about, partly in politics, but I don't put as much credit in politics as some people do. You know, maybe it's just being an economist, you're kind of born that way, but I think the real power is in the market. It's where people go head-to-head and negotiate a wage, where people go head-to-head and negotiate a price for prescription drugs. I mean, what they do in that Medicare thing, first thing they did was give away the negotiating power of Medicare.
That's correct, to the people that are providing the drugs.
Right, that's all the power we had. Step one is to give that away. Now, what in the world sense does that make?
Well, it makes the pharmaceuticals wealthier.
Very good sense to the pharmaceuticals.
It makes the pharmaceuticals wealthy. Let me take one more call here. Yes, you have a question for our guest, Dr. Richard Levins.
Yes, doctor. Isn't it true that until the U.S. government, as it did from 1933 to 1980, took the side of the worker, isn't it true until that happens again, either through a second great Depression, a Roosevelt-type administration, that is only when unions will become strong again, when they again have the backing and power of the United States government. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I think you might have been a better guest on this show than me, because you're exactly right. You look at the history of the unions, and like I mentioned, you look at that 1980-81. That was such a watershed. That's when the President of the United States at that time made it acceptable to bust unions. And it was uphill to that time with very, very few little glyphs, you know, blips in the radar there. But that's when the middle class got built, was during the time the government was supporting unions. From 1980 on, just look at the data, it's a perfect track. That's when the middle class started fading, was when the unions did not have that kind of support. If I was going to vote for somebody this year, for one of the things I'd be asking right up front is, how do you intend to support unions? Because without that support, I think the rest of it is, we're just done.
Mm. And that's going to have to be the last word. Dr. Richard Levin, Senior Fellow at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. Where can people get your book?
They can go online to itascabooks.com, or they can call 800-901-3480.
Middle class, union made. Doctor, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been a real pleasure being on your show. I hope you have a good day there.
You too. Take care now. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be taking a break, but I'll be back at you. Stay with me.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Tel Aviv. A huge scandal is breaking in Israel. President Moshe Katsav is being investigated on charges that he may have raped a former employee of the presidential residence. Two other female employees there have also come forward and said that the president also engaged in improper sexual behavior with them. President Katsav has responded by saying the woman making the rape charge is trying to blackmail him. But that has caused the allegations to expand to the point that he may have been offering presidential pardons to people in exchange for bribes. There are also calls now from some members of the Israeli Knesset for the president to resign. And Dateline New York. The new edition of Time magazine contains a story that says the Pentagon is forming a new military command that will deal strictly with the continent of Africa. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld will soon give his approval of the plan for an African command, which will focus on the fight on terrorism as it pertains to the involvement of African nations. Currently looking after Africa is being split over three geographic commands: European, Pacific, and Central. By creating a separate command for just dealing with Africa, the Pentagon will then have just one military organization for the State Department and CIA to work with. The leading officer to head the African command is General William Kip Ward, the only black four-star general in the Army. He's currently serving as the deputy commander of the European command. Many agencies have said for years that the United States should be paying more attention to developing situations in Africa. Last year, the head of CENTCOM, General John Abizad, told the Senate Armed Services Committee that the Horn of Africa was ripe for penetration by extremist groups because of corruption, extreme poverty, territorial disputes, and chronic shortages of food and water. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Families often turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in a supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of your own home. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of their terminal illness. Their program features home services and emphasizes comfort for the dying, making it possible to remain independent for as long as possible. Point of Change Hospice Care, 535-4500. That's 535-4500. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you. The Point of Change Hospice, 535-4500.
Hi, I'm Veronica O'Brien, your president for the St. Louis Board of Education. I would like to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This year will be one of our most exciting, with new leadership and renewed enthusiasm. Students, parents, and community, we welcome you back. Remember, education is the key to your success, and it starts on the first day of school for St. Louis Public School District, Monday, August 28th.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
What you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you planned. Dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you to. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling on those empty speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz.
Yes.
Whenever I'm at the meeting on the stairs, there's things I want to ask you, but you're so busy, and I say, oh, she doesn't have time to answer that for me. But maybe you can answer something for me now quickly. About 20 years ago, when I knew of people I thought was middle class and living quite well, they weren't even making six figures, but I, in my view, was so poor, I actually thought that that was middle class. Now, I know people that in the six figures, and really, I consider them still poor, because when they get through with their taxes and everything, you know what six figures does for two and three people, right, Liz?
Okay.
Six figures, you know, people that make, you know, in the six figures. Now, I call those people actually poor because when they get through with their bills and things, they don't have no assets much, you understand? And when you don't have any income outside of what you're making from paycheck to paycheck, you're still just like poor people because once that company or your job lay you off or go out of business, you're back down to nothing. So you are poor so quick. So middle class, I want you to tell me the difference in people that are wealthy, people that are considered as middle class people. Because I made a statement to a lady once that I know I referred to her as being poor, and she was insulted. She told me she wasn't poor. I call myself the upper poor that could be very poor real quick if I don't get these checks and money coming in all the time. So will you please explain this living status we have? At one time, I thought it was just blacks, but I find white people are in the same situation. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. The whole concept of poor and middle classes is, I think the lines have been blurred. If you are living paycheck to paycheck, you're able to pay your bills most of the time, but if you stop getting that paycheck, are you poor? Does middle class mean that you have to have some savings beyond what you're living on? But I think that does a disservice to poor people who don't have money for, you have an $800 gas bill, you can't get your gas on. You know, you're living without gas, you're living without electric, you're living in substandard housing circumstances. You don't have enough food for your children. You're eating horribly because you don't have, you're buying those 69 cents hot dogs for dinner every night of the week. You're fed, but you're sick because of the food that you're eating. So the question becomes, the type of world that we live in, and how who is poor? I can't argue with what Mary's assessment of if you lose that job, then you have no money because you have no savings and you have no assets because all of your assets are hocked. Is that really middle class? Is that the same middle class that existed for some in the 50s and in the 60s and in some places in the 70s where people had money in the bank and things didn't cost what they cost and health care didn't cost what it costs now? I don't know. I think that we are just a messed up, screwed up society and when it comes to the economy. I'm looking at this article, again, that I started this hour off with, and I ended the hour with yesterday. I got so many phone calls and emails about this article that a recession is predicted for 2007 because of the decline. What this economist is saying is that the biggest housing slump in 50 years, every housing indicator is in free fall, including now housing prices. I'm looking at the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal has that houses, builders are selling houses in Milwaukee. A brand new two-bedroom condominium, Fish Creek, Wisconsin. Private elevator. You have a harbor view. This was a house that a couple months ago was selling for $1.5 million. Not a house, a condo. $1.5 million. The builder of this condo put this on the auction block. Why? Because nobody was buying it. And builders don't have the same emotional attachments that people have to their homes. They don't want to put mama's house or daddy's house on the market for 50% off the price because there's too much emotional attachment to it. Builders are recognizing the market that we're in. This condo that was $1.5 million, person bought it on auction for $740,000. We're living in a crazy world, in a crazy, crazy world, and you need to understand the reality of the world that we're living in. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back to take your calls, your comments, to do our Because We Care giveaway. We have about four maybe even five giveaways in the next hour, because we have been so, we've missed a couple of weeks of it, so we're going to give away some packages. Yes, we are in the next hour. Got some books to give you, got some gifts to give you in the next hour. You don't want to miss it. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that you blow at the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop listening.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many.
For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. John Mark Carr can call a small jail cell in Colorado home for the time being as he prepares for his first court appearance in the JonBenet Ramsey case. ABC's Heather Nauert with details from Boulder.
When he's allowed out of his cell, he'll have access to a small day room. And for the first 72 hours, Carr will be forced to wear a red jumpsuit indicating that he is a new inmate. He will also be granted access to reading materials and television. Carr reportedly follows the coverage of his case closely, so he may be aware of just how much interest his arrival in Boulder is generating.
Carr's family insists that he was home with them when the six-year-old was killed 10 years ago over the Christmas holidays.
If he was away from his children during Christmas, it would have been a family scandal. I mean, it's something that would have been definitely known by every member of our family.
Carr's half-brother, Nate. A series of tornadoes across Minnesota blamed for at least one death and a lot of injuries. This man lost his home in one of the twisters.
The garage is gone. You can see that. Everything in the kitchen, smashed, busted. Everything's gone.
There were also reports of tornadoes in North Dakota. Authorities at Bush Intercontinental Airport are checking out a security breach. A bomb-sniffing dog found something in a piece of luggage. Officers took it out of the bag. They've taken it to a secure location. The TSA may scale back the ban on liquids for commercial airliners. The government's now looking into about 24 explosives to see just how much is actually needed to damage a plane. First, it was Dell Computers. Now Apple is recalling almost 2 million lithium-ion batteries, which can cause certain laptops to overheat or catch fire. ABC News technology contributor Becky Wehrle.
There have only been about 15 incidents of fire, so it's not an epidemic, but it's never good when a consumer product bursts spontaneously into flames.
The Apple iBook and PowerBook and the G4 series are involved in the recall. Dow down 10 points, NASDAQ up 5. This is ABC News.
B.F. Goodrich tires have won all over the world. Here's how you say victory in Portuguese. B.F. Goodrich tires. Español, B.F. Goodrich tires. Valuable insight from the tire that's won 20 straight Score Baja 1000s and more rock crawling championships than all other tires combined.
Visit any auto tire, the Tire Pros, from August 7th to September 3rd and receive an instant $50 off custom wheels, accessories, warranties, and services when you buy four new select BF Goodrich light truck or SUV tires. See store for details.
Drop everything. The Toyota Time nationwide clearance event is on now. See why Toyota is the number one brand in passenger car sales in America. With cars like the sporty, fuel-efficient Corolla, it's a great time to buy the unstoppable Tundra or the five-star rated Highlander. The clock's ticking. Drop into the Toyota Time event today. Toyota, moving forward.
Based on all applicable complete total passenger car registrations by May for calendar year 2005. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration 5-star federal crash test rating. Ratings only meaningful when comparing vehicles in the same weight class. www.safercar.gov. Same way, class. www.sabercar.gov.
Is it 2006 or 1964? You might wonder after hearing this. ABC's Deirdre Bryant has details.
A white bus driver has been suspended while the Red River Parish School District looks into charges that she ordered nine black students to sit in the back of the bus. The mother of one girl says the nine were told to squeeze into two rows or stand, while some white students had seats to themselves. The driver said she was told to assign seats. It happened in the small town of Coushatta. James Pennell of the NAACP in Shreveport calls it mind-boggling.
We thought that this ballot was decided in 1954.
Referring to Rosa Parks, Pennell says his organization may file a formal charge with the Justice Department. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
If your cell phone has become your portable timepiece of choice, you're not alone. Sales of watches are down almost 5% nationally over the last 2 years. One designer goes so far as to say that the only reason most people wear watches now is to make a fashion statement. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, charges are expected today against a suspect who allegedly fled from police in Granite City yesterday. Shortly before noon yesterday, Madison County Sheriff's deputies learned that the suspect had made threats against a Granite City business owner during an incident in St. Louis. About 2 hours later, a sheriff's deputy pulled the suspect over near the business. The deputy fired shots into the suspect's tire when he drove away toward the business, where another deputy finally pinned him in with a patrol car. The suspect is being held at the Madison County Jail pending formal charges. Missouri State Troopers are working to get people to slow down in construction zones. A dozen additional troopers began monitoring construction zones along I-44 in Eureka and Pacific yesterday in an effort to get people to obey the speed limit. Corporal Al Notham says these types of enforcements will continue, and there's a zero-tolerance policy for speeders in work zones. Notham says troopers issued hundreds of tickets yesterday to motorists driving anywhere from 5 miles over the speed limit to more than 90 miles an hour. A compromise decision from the FDA on the so-called morning after pill gets a mixed reaction from local Planned Parenthood officials. The FDA yesterday approved over-the-counter status for Plan B emergency contraception for women 18 and older, but not for those 17 and under. Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region says the FDA's decision is an important victory, but the denial of over-the-counter emergency contraception for teens is bad medicine and bad public policy. Finally this hour, a locally based children's store is helping some children's organizations. Kids from the Judevine Center for Autism and the Matthews Dickey Boys and Girls Club visited the Build-A-Bear workshop in the Galleria yesterday to build the workshop's newest bear, Champ. Kathy Scott with Build-A-Bear explains why this bear is so special.
$1 from the sale of this bear goes to our Hugs Fund Trust. And these organizations can apply for a grant that help with children's wellness and well-being.
These two groups were among the first in the country to receive grants from the Build-A-Bear Workshop Bear Hugs Foundation. Each group received $1,000 to help fund their efforts. Charities that support children's health causes can apply for a grant by visiting buildabear.com. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Advil Muscle Ache. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Ultimate Fighting Championship, Liddell versus Sobral. Northbound 270 at the exit to westbound 70 is scheduled to be closed at 7 p.m. for construction work. Work is scheduled to be finished by 5 a.m. on Monday in both directions. Northbound and southbound 270 at the exit to eastbound 40 is going to be closed this evening beginning at 10 p.m. for road maintenance operations, and detours will be in place. Work is scheduled to be finished by 6 a.m. Saturday morning. There are a number of other construction sites going on. Just use your head and slow down through those construction zones. Eastbound 44 from Big Bend to Holmes, look for an accident on the right shoulder. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ultimate Fighting Championship, Liddell versus Sobral. Watch UFC 62 live this Saturday night on pay-per-view. The Iceman Chuck Liddell defends his title against Babalu Sobral Use your digital remote Saturday to order Ultimate Fighting Championship. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, 20% chance of showers, otherwise partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday and Sunday, showers and thunderstorms both days with a high around the upper mid 80s or so. Currently, we have clouds and 75 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
To you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers. Stop
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious Lord. We have so much stuff to talk about. And I got a lot of emails yesterday about the show. The Survivor show that they're going to use, and they're going to divide into groups based upon race. Got a lot of calls about that. I'm sorry, a lot of emails about that. And folks were really kind of torn with the concept of it. The whole, we're going to divide them into race groups, and we're going to have Asians and Hispanics and Africans and white folks. How this is going to impact upon our understanding or our discussion about race. There are those that are concerned that it's going to allow people who want to say engage in racist stereotypes
do that. There are the, and then there's the other piece of it. This group will be looked upon as the spokesperson for an entire race of people. The Asians will represent all Asians, the Hispanics. And what was interesting about the Hispanic choice is all of the Hispanics are very, very, very light-skinned Hispanic people. So they picked that, we already know that they picked a certain type of Hispanic person. There aren't any Hispanic people that look like me. Black folks. Each one of these groups are going to be given the responsibility of, or the expectation of, representing an entire race of people. And what if they're horrible? What will that impact be? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to give away some prizes. We're going to do two giveaways in this hour. But right now, we're going to take a break. And we'll be back. Stay with us. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to do a washer, dryer, refrigerator, a stove, or tools? Or how about a lawnmower, a generator, everything that you need? Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on, when you go there, when you get what you need at the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. Tell them I told you to.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. 70%, let me say that again, 70% of the contracts for Hurricane Katrina government work, 70%. Of these contracts were handed out with no bids. 70% of them. 19 contracts worth, and are you ready for this? $8.75 billion wasted. And they worried about Girls Gone Wild DVDs. They want to make people look bad for buying a Girls Gone Wild DVD off a lousy $2,000 when $8.75 billion wasted in taxpayers' money. No wonder. You just heard on the news an hour ago. No wonder Illinois, FEMA is telling Illinois, no, we're not going to call you a disaster area and help you clean up from that horrible storm last month. FEMA doesn't have any money. They gave away $8.75 billion, just threw it away. Numerous instances of double billing by contractors. Trailers as emergency housing still sitting empty in Arkansas. Now understand that while these trailers, these acres and acres and acres of trailers are sitting there in Arkansas with no place to ship them, understand they've been paid for. We're paying rent to keep trailers empty. Can you imagine? All of the homeless, or not can you imagine? Consider this. All of the homeless people that we have all over this country, our government is paying tens of thousands of dollars a month to let empty brand new trailers that our government already paid for sit empty. Think of all the homeless people all over this country and our good government, this administration. This is how they spend your money. You trust these folks with your money? Aaron Walker, the national spokesperson for Homeland Security, said, "We are working to improve our contracting process based on previously issued non-politicized reports." Shut up. Previously issued non-politicized reports? Huh. $8.75 billion. And Katrina was almost a year ago. In December, they were still awarding 57% of their total dollar value of contracts without full bidding. $400 million of a contract issued to Shaw Environment and Infrastructure. Who was that? Bechtel. Bosom buddies of the Bush administration. $400 million to Bechtel. Three of them, Bechtel, CH2M Hill, and Fluor, all of them wasted money. The Shaw Group's lobbyist, Joe Albach, is the former FEMA director and a longtime friend of Bush. He's the one that directed all of these no bid contracts. He was the director of FEMA. Now he's making buku bucks directing no bid contracts. And just in case you think that the government that the number is going down, check this out. The government began with giving 70% of their contracts no bid. That means that, and for no, in case y'all don't understand or know what that is, no bid contracts means that there's no competition in the contract process. You give it to whoever you want to give it to. When you have a bidding process, you look at what people say that they can do and you get the cheapest and the best price, the best bang for your buck. People compete for the job. And our good government started off with handing out 70% of our contracts to no bidders. That means they got lots and lots and lots of money. And right now it's down to 57%, but it was all the way up to 93%. These people went in and just raped people. Raped New Orleans. Raped our federal government. And our government wants us to look over here at Girls Gone Wild. People buying, using their $2,000, the lousy $2,000 load of credit cards that they got. FEMA says now we're only going to give you $500 cash. $2,000 wasn't enough. But our government wants us to, this administration wants us to look at a lousy Girls Gone Wild DVD. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have a year anniversary of Katrina coming up. And it should stick. What hasn't been done should be laid at the feet of a Jim Talent. Ask yourself, how many times has Jim Talent been down to the Gulf Coast? None. None. This is the biggest disaster. And ask yourself, how many times has he been to Iraq? Who has his focus and who has his attention? Do we have his attention? Or does carrying the water for this administration have his attention? And for a war forever and ever again, amen, does that have his attention? My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call, 1-877-920-WGNU. And also, don't forget that we will be meeting at the Urban Institute tomorrow. Saturday, tomorrow already, isn't it? Saturday. From 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we have our committees gathered together. We have a few more copies of the DVD Loose Change to hand out. We have work to tend to. This is madness. This is political madness. What is going on? And we need you there tomorrow. Continental breakfast will be served. And don't forget, the week after that, we're going to be showing the Spike Lee Katrina piece. The week after. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yeah, Liz. We have a problem. You know, there are people who jump up in front of you. I mean, you know, you make pretty good money, you know, and stuff. And then there are people who jump up in front of you. They don't need to do that, you know.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Dayton.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, there are people that are disrespectful like that, you know. I mean, they should know not to jump up in front of folks, you know.
What does that mean, jump up in front of folks? I don't know what you're saying.
Okay, they want to get everything before you.
Want to get everything before me.
Right.
Okay. Before me personally or before...
Personally.
Okay, what are we talking about, Dayton?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, they get personal, you know, but I mean... They don't know right now, you know, but they just do it, you know. That's all I'm saying.
I really wish I could understand what you're saying, and I
okay,
don't.
Okay, you make more money than somebody, and then, because you make some money, you know, more than them, they want to, you know, just jump up in front of you, you know. That's disrespectful.
Like who are we talking about?
Girls or men.
Okay.
Grown-ups.
Okay.
You understand?
No. No, no, I don't. No,
baby. You
no,
don't want.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
You can let your spouse jump up in front of you, you know, because, you know, y'all love each other, something like that. But,
okay.
I mean, everybody, you know.
Okay. All right.
It's disrespectful.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
All right. Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I want to comment on Katrina. You know, it's a good thing that we're keeping it aware and, you know, to the public. And, you know, a lot of people, they are talking about the CARE Foundation, the Islamic Foundation. But CARE had been down in Louisiana since the storm happened, helping the people, you know. And one thing that we as Muslims doing down in Louisiana is showing compassion towards the people, which this government lack of doing. I know they have the financial backing, but they don't have the compassion to donate the money that's needed to help those displaced families down there. You know, and this government don't have any compassion for anybody. And that's what I wanted to share with you.
Okay. Thank you so much. And here's a story that I haven't had a chance to talk to you all about. The movie, World Trade Center. We're going to talk about this, how they showed a person as a rescuer, as a white person, and it really was a black person. And they call themselves, we are representing, we did our best to make certain that we represented this movie exactly as how things happened, huh? How'd you miss that? My name is Liz Brown. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about a man by the name of Thomas. Jason Thomas. We'll be back. Families turn to hospice care when they're facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of your own home. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. Their program features home services emphasizing comfort for the dying and making it possible to remain independent for as long as possible. Point of Change Hospice Care, 535-4500. One of our counselors is waiting for your call at 535-4500. Point of Change Hospice Care, caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you. Point of Change, 535-4500.
I'm Controller Darlene Green, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This is expected to be one of our most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August 28th.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Hi, I'm Will Cook, president of Holiday World at Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana. Have you seen it yet? It's Holiday World's new Voyage roller coaster. I believe it's the best coaster ever built. The Voyage is one of the tallest, fastest, and longest roller coasters in the world. It has three incredible drops of over 100 feet, which create its great speed. But my favorite part is all the hills. Our hills generate more weightless airtime than any other wooden coaster. The Voyage has a world record 5 underground tunnels that will have you screaming in the dark. It also features 3 extreme 90-degree bank curves, another world record. People tell us Holiday World and Splash and Safari is a great value for families. We offer 2 parks for 1 price and free unlimited soft drinks all day long. We're located in Santa Claus, Indiana, probably much closer than you think. For smaller crowd sizes, visit us on a Sunday or a weekday. For more information, visit our website at holidayworld.com.
Holiday World and Splash and Safari, number one for family fun. Open daily until August 20th.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Hey, Howard, can we do this? Can we do a little bit of a giveaway here? I know we've been, people have been waiting with bated breath for the giveaways to return. So let's do a couple of folks now. Let's go into our barrel here and pull some names out. We have some wonderful gifts that we're going to be giving away in the Because We Care, Liz Brown, Because We Care package. Let me pull out a name here. Let me pull out a name. Dolores Powell. Dolores Powell, you will receive a copy of Dirty Red. Congratulations, Dolores Powell, one of our winners for the Because We Care package. Also, let me see, who else do we have? Dorothy Brandon. Congratulations, Dorothy Brandon. You will also receive a Because We Care package. And tell you what, we're going to give away two more of these packages at 9:15 today. If you hear your name, come on down to the station and pick up your package. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Congratulations to our winners. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Here's an interesting story. You know the movie Twin Towers. The movie Twin Towers really follows the story of two men that were buried under the rubble, and they were rescued by two other people. And what is interesting is that in the movie, the person that represents one of the men that helped pull these two men out of the rubble is portrayed by a short white guy. When in reality, the person that rescued him was this very attractive, Jason Thomas. Jason Thomas is a 6'3" man of African descent. He was played by a smaller white actor, William Mapapour. Now, My question is this. Oliver Stone takes great pride in saying that he went out of his way. He wanted to be accurate, wanted to be factual, wanted to be non-conspiratorial. He's been criticized from those in the movie industry by not trying to be more questioning of how things happen and how this happened. But he did it straight down the road in terms of from the perspective of many people on the right. This is the story that he told. The story of the World Trade Center, and he prided himself on Oliver Stone on we wanted to be accurate. So how is it then that the person that you portrayed as a hero was a white man when it was in reality a 6'3" man of African descent? Some people would raise the question of, well, maybe they didn't know, maybe they didn't, because the guy left the scene, the hero left the scene, and they didn't know who this was. Well, they found one of the people that pulled him out of helped pull these people out of the rubble, a man by the name of Marine Staff Sergeant David Carnes. They knew who he was. They knew he was one of the Marines that pulled, because also I neglected to say, Jason Thomas is a Marine. He was at home when he heard the towers had been hit, and he went and got his Marine uniform, and he drove to the scene and just stepped in and started saving lives. Good man. A good man. So, why was he portrayed as a white man when they had a Marine who they knew was there because he was the other Marine that helped save people? He confirmed that Thomas was the guy when they showed him a picture. So, why didn't somebody portray him the way they portray a hero as a man of African descent? Now, Jason says he's not bothered that the film portrays him as a white man. That's not an issue at all. The right question wasn't asked of him. The question that should have been asked of him, and the discussion that should have been had with him, is the impact of imagery. The messages that are sent out every single day on the airwaves, the messages that are sent out about him, Jason Thomas, as a man of African descent. The messages that are sent, he has five babies. He's holding a beautiful little two-year-old boy. The messages that are sent out to two-year-old boys, four-year-old boys of African descent, four-year-old boys of white descent, white children, European descent. What do heroes look like? Hollywood says, when we don't know, we pick a white guy. So that the world sees, when they see this film, this historical film, they see that the heroes look like John Wayne, not Denzel Washington. The right question wasn't asked of this man. How important is it to have for your son to be able to look up on a camera, look up at a film, when a film is talking about heroic action, and to see someone that looks like him? How important is that? That's a big deal. That question wasn't asked. That question was not asked. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Jeff.
Yeah, what's up, Liz?
Good morning.
What they're probably going to say is that the reason they made a mistake identifying the person who actually was involved in the rescue, because the dust from the World Trade Center probably got on his face and made him look lighter.
No.
That's probably what they'll be trying to say.
No, because the article doesn't even try to say that, Jeff. The article says that the other Marine that was standing next to Jason Thomas was a white guy. And the
I wasn't trying to be sarcastic or anything.
Oh, I know, but
how they gonna play it, put a spin on it.
And what I'm trying to, I'd like to say is that the Marine identified him through
they knew each other.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So they knew they had somebody that they were talking to that knew what color this man was. So they already had a witness that knew what this person. So they can't. So my point is that you can't say that, because you had an eyewitness there, because the victims were unable to identify anybody. Nobody was asking that the victims be able to identify them. But the two men that were there knew. So why didn't his friend who knew him, why didn't he tell them, no, he's not a white guy, he's a black guy? And why didn't they ask why didn't they ask what he looked like? They just assumed it was a white guy and put one in there.
And in the article, I read the same article. I think it was in USA Today.
It's in that today, yes.
Okay, I read the article, and the guy kind of, the black guy, Mr. Thomas, he kind of smiled and said, I'm not going to, I could make a comment, but I'm not going to. It's just another one of those things where they, just like when the attack occurred and they show those four firefighters raising the flag. You remember that?
Right.
And they were all white.
That's correct.
And this is just another attempt to, say, well,
to whitewash
reckless behavior. Because if you can get all those details about those two guys, and, of course, somebody had to give a testimony, you knew the other guy was black.
And you chose not to do it. And, again, it's another message out there that heroes don't look like my daddy, don't look like you.
Do you think that...
I got to go. I got to get to my other calls. Thanks so much for your call. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Liz. Just a couple of things briefly. I met with Brian Williams, who's the NBC anchor person of the news Wednesday, and I didn't know he was a fireman. He had been a fireman.
Okay.
Yeah, and in a mix of... integrated firehouse, so that was very interesting. But Veronica O'Brien, the school board president of security, I think that's a waste of taxpayers' money.
Why?
Why?
Yes, why?
I've never heard of no other school board president having security like that.
Have you ever heard of a school board president being threatened to be killed? Have you ever heard of a school board president's children being threatened with harm? Have you ever heard of a school board member's home being trespassed upon and people peeking into her home at night as a direct result of her being a school board member? Have you ever heard of that before?
I know Anita Bond.
Wait a
minute. Have no security like that.
You didn't answer my question. You didn't answer my question of whether or not you've heard of a school board president whose life has been threatened and children's lives have been threatened. Have you heard of that?
Well, Well, if you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. That's what Harry Truman used to say.
And Harry Truman also carried a gun. And Harry Truman also had security guards around him all of the time. And Harriet Truman had a whole Secret Service group of people to protect his life from people who were trying to kill him. And we paid for that. So your analogy with Harry and Truman is really a stupid analogy. The fact of the matter is that it is amazing to me how you, as a man of African descent, your first instinct when a woman of African descent is life is threatened, your response is that, well, then you just need to run away. You just need to run away from it, not engage in your position anymore, but just run away. Shame on you. Shame on you for deciding that a person's life should not be protected. Shame on you. Shame on you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Harry Truman said, if you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. What an absurd thing to say. What an absurd thing to say. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline New York. A Pakistani businessman living in New York City has been charged by the government with doing business with terrorists. Javed Iqbal is accused of offering Hezbollah satellite programming to customers in the New York City area. His lawyer says this is a violation of his rights to free speech, and there is no other case where a person was accused of breaking American law by offering access to news outlets from satellites. And Dateline Atlanta. The old Christian coalition that claimed to be the voice of the silent majority during the heyday of the Reagan administration has fallen on some hard times. Affiliates in three states this week announced they are breaking away from the national organization, and some are even taking new names to distance themselves. Most of the dissension is over financial troubles, a lack of leadership, and plans by the national organization to take on issues that are quite distant from its traditional platform. The head of the Alabama chapter, John Giles, says his group is leaving the parent organization for a number of reasons, but cited abortion and same-sex marriage as two of the root issues that Alabama disagrees on. Giles says it would not surprise him to see more defections, and the Christian coalition can no longer dictate any policy in Washington. A woman by the name of Roberta Combs is head of the national chapter and admits it is $1 million in debt, but expects the organization will survive and thrive. The Christian Coalition was formed by televangelist Pat Robertson in the 80s and gained influence when Ralph Reed became executive director during the 90s. But Reed ran into trouble within the last few years after he became linked to super lobbyist Jack Abramoff and just recently lost an election bid in Georgia. This is your wake-up call global news update.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
On Saturday, September 16th, Macy's Famous Bar Department Store invites you to shop for a cause. Buy a $5 shopping pass to help raise money for the group Four Paws for Ability. This organization needs to raise at least $12,000 to get an assistance dog for Sean LaRochelle, a local child who has autism. This specially trained dog will provide companionship, safety, and behavior intervention for Sean. For more details or to make a direct financial donation, go to fourpawsforsean.com. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I ran away today, ran from the noise, ran away. Don't want to go back to that place, but don't have no choice, no way.
Work it out. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. Hey, Howard, can we hit it again? Can we do a little bit of a giveaway thing here on the wake-up call for the Liz Brown Because We Care packages? Yes, indeedy. Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the drums. Let me pull a name out here. A couple more names. Congratulations out to Henry Rush. Henry Rush, congratulations. And One more name. Don Macy. Don Macy, congratulations. Congratulations to our winners for the Because We Care package. You will be contacted. Congratulations. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Let me get to you. Earl, good morning.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
First, I want to be fair to the mayor, but I've heard the controller ran commercials about encouraging the kids to go back to school, but has the mayor
Let's just be clear about this. We know that Francis Slay, when his board majority controlled the St. Louis Public Schools, that's when we lost dozens and dozens of accreditation points, millions of dollars in salaries to people that didn't have any experience, just a gouging and the gutting of the district, a $30 million debt that the district picked up because of Francis Slay's control of the school board. He spent millions of dollars on an advertising campaign to get kids back to school on the first day. There was a press conference that was held last week. Elected officials citywide, Darlene Green, I believe Sharon Carpenter, Mike McMillan was not there, but elected officials citywide stood up and said, we are going to have a press conference encouraging parents and students and reminding folks the first day of school is Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Francis Slay was not there. Francis Slay didn't send a representative. Francis Slay, like George Wallace standing at the front of a school trying to keep black kids from coming in, Francis Slay has refused to give tax money, $4 million worth of tax money that is owed to the St. Louis schools, has refused to sign that money over to the St. Louis public schools. Francis Slay, in an effort to close down schools and to keep them from being open on the 28th, on Monday, sent inspectors out. Now, understand that the school board president, Veronica O'Brien, had been asking for inspectors weeks and weeks ago because we finally have access to the schools and we know what has happened since Sodexo has been taken over by the schools, that there were a lot of problems in the school. Francis Slay didn't send any inspectors until a week before with the hopes that his inspectors would be able to find something to keep schools from being open on Monday morning.
Well, see, he's supposed to be a leader of the city. I mean,
Instead of a petulant child?
I'm sorry.
Instead of a petulant child?
Right. I mean, he still should encourage the kids because it's very important that the kids show up for school.
What if
he
don't
disagree?
Well, I think this is the truth of the matter is he don't give a darn. He don't give a darn.
It shows because he criticized Peter for making those statements that he didn't want the schools to open. Well, this would have been an opportune time to run his commercials to show that he did want them.
Doesn't care.
Want the kids to go to school.
Doesn't care. Doesn't care.
It seems that way.
No, it's clear. Right. It's clear. You measure people's actions by what they do. And if you don't do it, then you don't. I mean, we're not stupid. We're supposed to draw the conclusion. If you're not there, if you are trying to stop something from happening, you don't care. Period.
That's
not
good leadership for the city. He's
it is not. And how about this? This is shooting not only your nose off to spite your face, but everybody else's nose off to spite your face.
Exactly.
Because the fact of the matter is how do you get people to want to invest in and come to the city of St. Louis and live when the person sitting in the mayor's office is trying to keep school from being open?
I mean, exactly. It's like some kids. You don't get your way, then heck with it. You know.
Fact. Fact. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. William.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, I have a statement to make to you, and it seems that you were surprised that they would do this Marine the way in which they've done him and his portrayal.
No, you misinterpret my response. I was absolutely not surprised by that. I taught a course on images of black people, cultural diversity in the media. I was not surprised at all.
Exactly.
No, there wasn't any surprise in my voice.
Okay, I'm glad that you weren't, because this thing has been happening for decades, centuries. The first that I can automatically comes to my mind is this portrayal of Christ. They've taken something, and then they turn around, and the first chapter of the book of Matthew, well, let's see, the second chapter of the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, I mean, they changed the wording, and how important is wording? When the angel appears and says, take your family and hide, the word was originally manuscript, hide in Egypt. Certain people cannot hide in Egypt. But so then how important there is perception? You know, what does that tell the person who truly looked like Christ? Now, what does that tell the people who truly looked like this brave Marine who went and ran in that building? See, the perception that they want us to believe that we are about, or they'll put a gun in our hand or pull our pants down, put this stuff on the radio or television, so that this can go into these kids' heads, and then they start mimicking that. They don't mind them mimicking that so they can fill these jail cells up. But then why don't you start putting this stuff, just put the truth out. Don't squander it. Don't change it. Leave it as it is, and let's see what happens. Why can't they do that? Now, that's what puzzles me.
I understand the reason why. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, I can understand, you know, the white person who made the movie putting the white person in there.
Why can you understand that?
Because he's white, probably.
Well, that's no excuse.
Okay, wait a minute. But what I can't understand is how a black person, lady, could go along with firing a black man from the school position and getting a white man. A white woman.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second.
I always say, let you finish, so let me finish.
You've made your point. What else do you have to say?
I would, but you... Wait, go ahead.
Okay, good. All right, glad you got it. Here is the thing. The thing that you seem to have such this difficult struggle with is that every person of African descent is not about people of African descent's issues. Clarence Thomas is a person of African descent just like I am. But Clarence Thomas's issues are issues that cut at the heart at and harm African people. I did not advocate for his appointment, and I'm not finished yet because you seem to be very confused that the only thing that you're focused on is the color of the individual as opposed to what that individual advocates, articulates, and delivers. Williams, as the man in the superintendent's seat, had absolutely no experience as a superintendent. And this district, Francis Slay and his board said pay him $300,000. I cannot stand by and stand silent with that. I will not let the color of a person make me support him if they're doing wrong to my community, whether that color is of African descent or of European descent. We have to be that way. And this man didn't have the qualifications, he was overpaid, and then he engaged in actions that put our district at harm. He put together a budget and told the board to sign off on it, and it was tens of millions of dollars short. It was an improper budget. He fired thousands of teachers and then put one person in charge of finding, of hiring teachers, hiring these teachers, some of these teachers back, with no timetable in order to get them hired in time for school to start. I cannot stand silent for that simply because his skin color is black. I am not a stupid woman. I am a woman that looks at everybody and all of their credentials. I am not blinded by that. I love my people. I love them past my heart. But all people of African descent are not like me. Some of them are like you. And they don't understand. They will defend bad people for political reasons. The woman that's in this position right now has hired more black people than anybody in the past 3 years. The woman that's in this job right now is getting the school opened on time. The woman that's in this job right now has said to Frances Slay, you know what, I run this. She doesn't kowtow to him. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. He ain't supposed to be scared or owned. And so far, so good. And that's a good thing. Don't forget that the Urban Institute is this weekend. The address is 1020 North Taylor. The time is 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Our issues are profound. And I'm so proud that we have been meeting week after week after week to attend to them. Our committees have started. You need to come on down. We have some more DVDs of the Loose Change to give away as well. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And if I don't see you then, I'll see you on Monday morning. I'll hear you. You'll hear me on Monday morning. My name is Liz Brown. Until we talk again.